eight sites altogether. So there were eight. Now, what you're going to see on the next iteration is we're going to add that A and B to options 2 and 3 as well. So to explain the difference of A and B, so we have the city auditorium block, we have the highway shop, we have West 212. The A for the auditorium was we're just building the jail, sheriff's operations, and whatever we need to with the existing courthouse. B is if you say, okay, we're building an entirely new justice complex at the auditorium. So it's not just jail, sheriff's operations, but we take all of the court's operations and move those over there. We're going to add that same A and B item to the highway shop and to West 212 too, primarily because you'll see today, tonight, one of the things we're going to talk about is that there is an operational impact. There's actually an operational savings if everything's together. So we'll look at that. And then there are the four options that we initially presented for the existing courthouse block. So, again, this was the auditorium block. We've gone through this numerous times. And this showed everything kind of that we looked at before as far as the auditorium block with just the jail operations and sheriff's operations. And then we did show another one that crosshatched the area on the second level where the courts would occur. In all of the other options, it would be the same kind of scenario. We would end up putting the courts on the second level. And you do that, I'll explain, even on a big site like 212 or the highway shop, you're going to put the courts above the jail because you can create a direct access and movement, a secured movement, from the jail up between the courtrooms. So if you were to build them on the same level, you're ultimately having inmates crossing some kind of corridor, whether it's staff corridor, public corridor. Putting it over and under makes the most secured movement. So the other site was a highway shop. We talked about that. You know, one thing, Lee, that I don't know if we ever followed up on, there were a couple of kind of loose ends is just that was brought up in the last meeting, just making sure that that the county engineer was comfortable with what was being shown here and things could be moved around. We are going to follow up. Another impact is after tonight, we will send you some diagrams and cost proposals for the borings. Yeah, so we'll have to talk about having those soil borings done because, as I mentioned last time, if you have very poor soil conditions, building a building on it can be very costly. So we want to find that out early and know if there's a big impact there because that could affect your decision-making. The West 212 site, as we know, it's a fairly sizable site. And this was the proposed layout for that. Coming off 212. And then with those, what we did that was a little ambiguous before. So with options 1 and 2, the question is, okay, what's happening to the existing courthouse? What's going on? It was a little ambiguous. So we added the drawings that showed at the existing courthouse, you can see here that we're adding a new secured entrance. We added state attorneys. We added
court services.
Court services. Thank you, Lee. And basically a lot of the county functions stay where they are, but we're adding those areas that we needed. So we identified that on the ground floor.
So that's just for everybody, just to keep clear, so that's 1A, now 2A, and 3A. So the ones without the complete Justice Center at those sites.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So only the ones without, exactly. If it's complete Justice Center, in essence, you're leaving the courthouse as it is, and it now becomes county services, county government services.
Yeah.
So that will be discussed. Right. And there's some operational efficiency to that. So again, you know, this is what happens on the first level. And again, county state services stay there, but we're, in essence, building the space for the court system as identified in the program needs previously. And then on the second floor, this is where we add the larger jury courtroom and some of the other courts services space that was identified as a need in the program as well. So these occur in those. So then as you go to option A, or 4A, excuse me, this is the one where we're demolishing the existing jail sheriff's operations and building it on the site. This is also where we're utilizing the Midland building and moving government services. So this is a, I forgot how many phases this, and we'll talk about that later too in the phasing approach, but this one, you know, involves remodeling the Midland building so you can move government services into the Midland building. It involves demolishing the jail. It involves some phase stuff. It involves building the jail so you can move the inmates to the new jail. So anyway, that is kind of that 4A option. and these were the plans that show the stack up of how that would relate. This is a one jail. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight, too, is whether it's a single-story jail or a two-story jail. And two-story being that jail operations, the booking, the intake area, property services, medical, laundry, all those things, jail offices and whatnot occur on the lower level, and jail housing actually occurs on the second level. That will be an important topic tonight as far as operational cost. So this is all one level. So you can see jail operations, all that flow is right adjacent to where the jail housing is. The jail housing in this, in every one of them, is a mezzanine-type application. And then sheriff's operations in this one sits over top of the jail. And then you can see the courts, similar to the other one, courts are up on the second floor.
Was that the one that had sheriff's operations also bleeding over into the old courthouse?
Yes, it did. Yes, yeah. It did. Okay. So to minimize some of the ultimate building new building area, we showed utilizing some of the space for sheriff's operations. For B, then, was the idea of not utilizing the Midland building, but utilizing the existing sheriff's and sheriff offices and jail area for government operations. And how did that work? And so that was 4B. And you can see where we're remodeling that area, like I said, for government services. We're building a jail. Now, this is a two-story jail application. Sheriff's operation is on the west. And we tried at one point in time, there was hard discussion about trying to get jail and operations on this one level. There's physically not enough site area to make that work in that area when you keep that existing building. The jail housing goes up above it, adjacent to the courtroom. And then above that, you have the mezzanine of the jail. So that's B. C was where we kept the existing jail and sheriff's operation building and remodeled and expanded it as needed to accommodate sheriff's operations. Built the new jail, as you can see, to the west. And again, this, because of footprint and availability of space, this necessitated the need to have jail operations on the main level with jail housing above it. And you can see how this kind of stacks out as you go through. Again, building the additional required court space per the courts program. Jail housing on the first floor and courts adjacent to, like we showed in some of the other schemes. D got omitted, and that was the one where we talked about that it just physically can't be phased to allow it to happen, which would predicate the need to move inmates to another out-of-county type facility, and there really is no place. First off, even if there was a place available to house them all, it would be cost prohibitive to house them all somewhere else. Because when you're looking at, what was it, 55, 60 a day?
Well, that's where we're at right now. Yeah. We've been, 70, last 80 year and a half.
So 70, 80 a day times 80 inmates, 70 to 80 inmates a day for the entire year, plus transport that you'd have to run back and forth, it gets very, very cost-prohibitive.
A couple million dollars.
Yep. So these were the plans. These are what's in the meeting minutes that Lee mentioned, and it's kind of where we are with the various site options at this point.
Just one, I have a question. If anybody else has a quick question, just on option 4A, and this might be a detail, I'm trying to remember where the Sallyport would go.
So we're currently showing it down in here somewhere. It needs all those little nuances. The reality, what would work the best is if you drove through and had the ability, of course, to drive through, and it's adjacent to booking, but it's generally conceptual.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So there's space for it.
Again, as we've all discussed, these are block plans based on program area requirements, and we, based on our experience, we're laying things out knowing how things will work and that we can make things work. The finite detailing of where exactly each room goes, door swings are, how the hallways work out. That's really when the county approves this project, when you all in the county approve this project, you go forward, the first step is developing floor plans that work. I mean, final detailed floor plans. So it's really the next level of development. So, and I can go back and forth from this. I'll kind of get out of this, but we can easily go back and forth to this. But the first thing we're going to look at tonight that's on the agenda is the operational impact and cost. So there's a number of assumptions that are made in this. Let me see. This, I can't read it all. Do I fit it to? There you go. And I can go. No, that's pretty readable, except for these columns that aren't wide enough. Everybody see that fairly well?
We can turn off the lights, but it might make us go to sleep.
Push it up just a little bit. Okay, so when we do an operational analysis...
Is that okay?
It is.
When we do an operational analysis, what you're looking at is what is the additional long-term cost to the county for the aspects that will change or increase from what your current conditions are. So we're not looking at what you're currently paying for utility cost and what those buildings cost, but we're looking at what the delta is or the increase for staffing or the increase for utilities. So the things to measure in this analysis are staff movement. So whether it's staff movement of state attorney going off-site to one of the options. The one thing that's not in here right now is the vehicle cost. So I think when we were looking at this before, I want to say that the distance from the current courthouse to the highway shop was about 1.9 miles. Yeah. The courthouse to the 212 property one way was a little over 2.5 miles, or about 2.5 miles. So there is a vehicle cost impact. If the county's responsible, like they are in most counties, to pay people for transportation, what's that cost, you know, the mileage cost or whatever, that would potentially be something. So what I want to do is, as we go through these, we'll talk about some of the assumptions. So the first thing we have listed here is staff movement. So the first item in staff movement is staff time impact. So in options 2A and 3A, those are the highway shop and they're the 212 site. And per some information we got from the state attorney's office, there's a number of times per week that probation-type officers would have to be over to a detached jail facility. And so based on the information they gave us, we did an analysis of the number of trips that they would have to take. Now, what we did for each of those, you know, it came out to just let everybody know, and we'll give backup to all this as well that helps to analyze this, but it's basically 546 trips a year. And we assumed that to go to the highway shop, which is a little closer, it's about a 40-minute trip. And so explain the 40-minute trip, it's basically that probation officer, that state attorney individual, leaving their office, walking outside, getting their car, taking their car, driving their car to the other facility, getting out of their car, and going into that facility. So it's not just that 1.9 miles it takes you 5 minutes to drive it. It's all that movement time also associated with it. So for that one, we made an assumption of 40 minutes per trip based on those number of trips. And then we also made an assumption of $100 per hour of an average state attorney. Now, that might be really low. State attorneys might get more than that. That's the assumptions that we're making that we'll need. And actually, Aaron, if you can put a note, we'll also email you a list of these assumptions that you could share. Right. I mean, we could answer some tonight, but we'll also send you a list of these assumptions.
Will we be getting a copy of this?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The reason that we're just projecting it tonight, yep. it's really in its infancy of
it's
starting.
Still pulling everywhere.
Yeah, so before it gets out there, really we need to go through the data with all of you and say, is this right? Are the assumptions we're making correct? The other one, 3A, has to do with a little bit further. So instead of assuming 40 minutes, just because it's a little bit further, we assumed, okay, it's potentially maybe a little bit longer. There's a few more lights to deal with. That's something we didn't look at that we could analyze, is how many lights does that person have to drive through in getting to that facility. But we assumed a 50-minute round-trip movement for that one, and that's why 3A is slightly more than 3B. It's just the difference of the 10-minute impact of one to the other. We will add, like I said, vehicle cost. We'll take the number of miles times the number of trips. And typically we take, I think the standard rate is like 56.5 cents per mile, and we'll apply that to it. Again, it's not a big number, but you're not looking for big numbers. You're looking for what the potential operational impacts are going to be.
Just one key assumption in this is that those in-custody court spaces, the small in-custody courtrooms that we're talking about, that would cause the state's attorney to have to go there, or the judges or whoever to go there, means that you don't, it almost eliminates the need to transport inmates. That's an assumption we're making here, right?
Exactly. And I think we have to bounce this off the state attorney again to kind of confirm some of this, Lee. I think we should.
Okay.
One of the judges also came in, too, while we after we had started. Hi, Judge. How are you?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so 2A and 3A, is that where the facility is all in one, jail and courts and everything is all in one?
So good question, actually. That's right where I was going next. So 1A is the auditorium across the street. And While there is potentially a slight time impact, to us it's close enough that we don't feel it's much of an impact. I mean, so we were making the assumption that 1A and 1B, which are the auditorium site, 2B is where you move everything over so it's all now combined, and then all of the other 3B, you're building everything new, and 4A, 4B, and 4C, which where we're using the existing courthouse, we're making the assumption they're all right adjacent to that existing courthouse, so any movement time is somewhat minimal. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Could I add something here? I don't see any a line here for the public defender's office, and I'm thinking that if the public defender has to go out to talk to inmates at either of those sites away from where they're at now, where the courthouse is, they're going to be figuring in their contract costs when they submit a contract proposal, those additional costs as well.
Okay, so that's something we gotta ask. It could be kind of tricky. Okay.
So we need to talk to the public defender and find out what their frequency
would be? It's done by contract with the local attorney, and we bid it regularly, so... Yeah, there probably would be.
Right now, that their office is
a half a block away.
Yes, it's behind the auditorium, so it's
it's convenient.
A walk over, but if they have to drive, I'm sure that would be
factored in somehow.
Factored in.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
That's a good point.
So the other zeros were again. You know, we were looking strictly at state attorney for these and what those potentially would be based on the time and based on the assumption of $100 an hour. And again, these don't take into consideration. Ultimately, at some point, right now, the most of this is based on a yearly basis. We did take it on a 20 year life cycle. We do need to do some inflationary impacts on that too, which will change some things.
One other question I've got is. Are you including the time from the state's attorney's standpoint? You've got staff time, but do you have staff time for the court services, the probation officers? And
we didn't include that strictly because they are state employees, not county employees, and that's the only reason we didn't. Because we were looking at the way we were looking at this is cost impact to the county. Mm-hmm. And so because those individuals are state employees, it doesn't have a cost impact to the county. It has an impact.
It does to the judicial system because of the time that's going to eat up, and it could impact the number of employees, FTEs, that are needed to service.
It might.
That is true. That is true.
It might be, I mean, it's all taxpayer money, so it's we could. It might be good to. We have the information from the judges and the clerk of courts to do that. We just need to.
There are a tremendous number of visits. I just know, and I'm sure Bob can. Second
court services officers.
They're constantly going over to the jail to talk to
six or seven times a day.
Why don't just kind of a separate kind of line? Maybe not. Maybe below the line, kind of just additional. Taxpayer costs or something that's only going to help us make the case. I mean, it maybe doesn't get summed into the county costs, but
we'll add that in there as well. Yeah. It might end up being so. We'll add that to it. This is a very good discussion. This is exactly what we needed to go through.
Yeah. If you put UJS on there, Bruce, that way, UJS is the Unified Judicial System. Instead of court staff, just put UJS, and we'll know. That's encompassing all that stuff.
Perfect. Vehicle cost weather. The inmate movement, what we need to discuss with that is the number of potential times when you have courts in one facility and jail in another. even though we're going to have a small in-custody type hearing room, when that inmate needs to be brought in front of the judge and the jury for a jury trial, how often you might anticipate that? My understanding right now is that the frequency is fairly low. It's maybe a couple times a year.
Question, this year's a busy, but in the overall trend from in the NCSC report is that jury trials are going down, but this is kind of a busy year from what I hear from jury trials.
We have to throw that out the window. I mean, in the last calendar year, from the end of July to the 1st of August, I presided over 5 jury trials, 3 criminal and 2 civil.
Really?
I know Carmen Means, the other circuit court judge, had that many, and magistrate judge Dawn Elsher had at least 2.
So potentially there were
12 in the last 11 months.
That's
in Cottington County.
That's a lot.
So how many, so criminal trials, how many do you think it is? Is it 12 a year? Sounds like it might be 12 a year right now.
I'd say at least 8 to 10.
Okay.
And that's based just on what I'm seeing in the last year and a half since I've been on the bench.
I think that it's just looking at the NCSC data where they looked at a window of, a number of years going back, that this would be on the high end of what that window was. But, I guess we'll see.
Well, that's true. There was a period of time where there was maybe 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
This might be
year and a half. That
it might be an anomaly, but I think you got to put something in there.
And
we could put a caveat on there that this might have been higher than anticipated. It will start to differentiate and show that if the judicial system is not together, there's an increased cost, of course.
Yeah.
And then one of the questions would be, too, when you do have these criminal trials, is there an average amount of time that they last? Are they 2 days, 3 days? I know it depends on the case, but
I would have to say your garden variety felony would be 2 days, a misdemeanor, 1 day. But some of these aggravated assaults, sex offenses, especially sex offenses against children, they'll take a week.
So, where we're heading with this analysis, of course, is the frequency of the cases, the length of the cases, and then how many correctional officers it's absorbing to have them transport those inmates over to the courts for those in custody jury trials. And so if we assume 10 a year, we assume, 2 days, that's 20 days on an average, and we'll put this together so we can look at it. And then, like you say, Sheriff, depending upon the severity of the case, it could be 1 correctional officer, but it could be 2 correctional officers
as
well.
A percentage of those jury trials that they're talking about that are criminal, some are going to be in custody, some won't. So you get a different percentage there. And then the staffing depends on the level of the case.
Yeah. So out of the 10 criminal trials, any idea how many would be in custody, the jury trial for those individuals being detained?
I would venture to say that if we said half, we'd probably be on the high end.
That's exactly 2 out of the 5 I presided over were sex offenses, then the defendants were in custody, and that took at least 2 sheriffs to be available at all time, not in front of the jury, but in the courtroom and hallways for security.
Okay. So at this point in time, unless somebody tells me differently, we're going to assume 5 jury trials a year for five inmate jury trials a year. It takes roughly 2 days of some correctional officer's time as an assumption, and it would be 2 correctional officers.
2 or 3 staff.
Yeah. And then we'll that'll help us to complete this. And again, just so everybody's aware, what that's saying is, there is an operational efficiency when you have the judicial facilities all together, and judicial facilities being jail, courts, sheriff's operations, and so on.
Can you state that assumption again, Bruce?
Five cases a year, five jury trials, 5 inmate jury trials a year.
Okay. And 2 days, and lasting...
Lasting duration of 2 days, and assuming 2 to 3 correctional officers of time for supervision.
Okay.
And then we'll, you know, we'll talk about the typical hourly rate for a correctional officer. Okay, so and so that'll help us to complete that inmate movement and where that applies and where it doesn't apply. Of course, if you know, there's a little bit of the similar if they're in the same building, but it's not nearly the same level of time impact. We'll talk to the public defender about what the options would do to them, and we'll add the other court services, the Unified Judicial System staff, because we did actually started that in the first round, so we do have that data. Yeah. The next item, when it comes to staffing impact, is jail staff movement. Now, when we went through the plans, we looked at one-level jail versus two-level jail. If you all might remember, when we went through the staffing analysis, whatever that last meeting was, it might have been two meetings ago or whatever, when we went through staffing analysis, what we talked about is when you have a jail on one level, your people that are working booking and intake and some of these other areas of the jail can actually act as floaters and support the staff that are in the jail housing area. So there's an efficiency of flow when they're all one level. When you start to put jail operations on a one level and jail housing on another, that creates an additional staff need. And again, all the ACA standards and the American Correctional Association standards and what we do in Minnesota as well requires an additional what's considered a post. So it's an additional staff person 24/7. So the additional, when you say post and 24/7, that equates to five staff positions to house that or to man that position, you know, 24/7. So this assumption, the one story, you know, the impact of a two-story operations, which I one additional post or five correctional officers. And the way we came up with this $371,250 per year is based on the assumption, where did I put the information? It was based on assumed salary of $55,000 a year for a correctional officer. I think we included a 35% for benefits, which brings it up to like $74,000. I apologize. I know I have the notes, but I have a bunch of stuff in front of me. Brings up about $74,000 a year, and then you take that times the five correctional officers, which gives you the $371,000. Does that make sense to everybody? Are you going with that? So it's in line with what we've done with other states and other areas as far as correctional officer salary. I think there has to be an inflationary factor that we put on these as we go through and do the long term.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, that does sound reasonable. So maybe a little on the high end, depending on when somebody starts versus, you know, when they
finish up.
More experience, but yeah.
So the only two options right now that we're showing that involve a two-story jail is 4B and 4C. All the others have zeros because they're single floor jails. The next item that we have on here is utility costs. So when we looked at this, we looked at not existing area, because again, the county's already paying for the utility costs for those existing. We looked at the amount of new building area for each one of the options. The county is currently paying, I think it's $203. Based on the utility bills we got, you're paying about $2.03 per square foot for utilities, gas and electric, for your buildings. We did some research with some of the others. We talked to our folks at Douglas County, Minnesota, that you all toured. Theirs is pretty similar, $215 a square foot for utilities. I talked to Houston County when I did their jail. Theirs is roughly about in the same area. The one piece of data that you didn't have that they had on all their facilities was also the maintenance cost and facility upkeep cost, the long term, you know, so the maintenance cost to clean, to change the light bulbs, to basically maintain those facilities was roughly about 48 cents a square foot. So this was what I used for you all, just so you know, is this we used 210 a square foot for utilities. We used 48 cents per square foot based on some averages we had for maintenance, and we used 40 cents a square foot for facility upkeep. So then we took that times the square footage, the new square footage, for each one of the options. So you'll see option one, the yearly cost is about $154,000. the yearly cost for option 1B. Now, why is it more expensive? It's more expensive by that roughly $36,000-$37,000 is because now we're building an entirely new courts judicial system above it. 2A is the highway shop without the judicial system, or the courts, I should say. 2B is, so again, you can see how they vary a little bit as you go across. Now, I was thinking it was 4A. 4A is a little bit higher than some of the others, and the reason we did that is what we did with 4A is we're assuming that the county is buying the Midland building in 4A, and the Midland building is about 8,500 square feet per floor. Roughly, what, 25,000 square feet, plus or minus? So when we took that utility cost, we took it for the entire Midland building as well, saying, okay, well, that's a new piece of property that the county doesn't currently pay utility cost on, and added that into the equation. So those are all the utility line items, as you can see. Again, maintenance, we took the same square footage based on that 48 cents square foot, and it's all based on area analysis. Same thing for facility upkeep, took that same cost per square foot, took that across the boards.
So you're only dealing with the delta and all this. It's
exactly.
Just the delta.
It's not the existing. It's really, because you're looking at increased operational costs.
Okay.
The way we're looking at it. Now, the one thing, so these totals here of $257,000, $257,000, $257,000, $267,000, $268,000. Now, the reason the last two are so high, of course, is not only are you dealing with utility cost, but now you've got that inmate staff movement cost as well, which really pushes those two up high.
These are, thank you, Dwayne.
These are all annual costs. We did project them, do a life cycle cost analysis. We did 5 years or 20 years. But the one thing that does need to be factored in here is there is an inflationary impact that we need to add to this. So, again, I want to modify these to make sure they incorporate the inflationary impact.
One question, Bruce, on 1A and 1B. So that those cost differences are taking into account the auditorium?
Yes, they are.
I think so.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had some money in the cost estimate for shell improvements. You know, when the county purchases or would acquire that property, we've already have some money for remodeling what's required for sheriff's operations. But we've got to assume that there's some upgrades that are going to be needed. There were some windows, like in the auditorium, there really weren't windows. Windows are going to have to be cut in for some of these areas. There's some upgrade utilities, and we figure that's going to accommodate to create a shell that's a better envelope as well. So, so that it includes it. But the one thing I'm not quite sure, and I have to double-check, is I know we looked at a roughly around 15,000 square feet for sheriff's operations. How do you remember the total square footage of the auditorium?
Well, it's bigger, but it's space wouldn't be completely remodeled for sheriff.
Well, no, but I'm talking about utility costs. This is
utility costs.
That's what I'm saying. So if it is a 19,000, I don't think it's much bigger.
We can get that. I mean, the mayor. I think the mayor told me it was about.
It's 25,109.
It might be a little higher than that.
So that will have an impact on 1A. The utility costs will be, and these costs will go up slightly.
Okay.
So we need to adjust that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, you know, the way it ranked out, based on where it is right now, which will change with some of the other information, but it'll probably stay all relative. I mean, things will go up and down, but relatively speaking, you know, the least expensive option over the long term of a 20-year analysis is the auditorium site that ends up being the least. The highway shop. If you were to build everything out at the highway shop, was the next lowest, as well as the 212 was the next lowest. But again, these will change with some of these others. The most costly, of course, was these last two because of the two-story jail analysis. So Does this make sense to everybody, kind of the direction, mm-hmm. the information?
Any other questions or, you know, ideas? Because
one question that has anybody calculated, like on the whatever number site, the one utilizing the Midland building, what's it going
to be?
That's 4A. What about the cost to acquire the property?
That's in the construction analysis, the project cost. And that's actually the next thing. So if you're trying to help me with a segue, that's phenomenal.
So
I'm going to go to that.
So as far as this goes, if you could email that to me.
I will send this to you along with our assumptions.
Okay. You can slap draft across it and then understand that it's going to take you a little bit of time to finalize that.
Yep. Because what we're going to do, just like we talked about, Lee, we'll send our assumptions along with additional questions that we'd have that you could then circulate with the judicial system, with the defender, with the state attorney, and so on and so forth. And the sheriff, you'll see the inmate movement one as well. So I think we got a lot of good information on that tonight that we should be able to move that
forward. The key thing we're seeing there is that the two-story jail is a pretty...
It's a big impact.
It impacts.
So with that, the next thing we talked about, Tyler helped bring up, was the estimated cost for this project. So I'll get into this. I think there'd be a quicker way to get into some of these things. So 1A, the auditorium, the remodeling of the auditorium. What we've got in there, and so just everybody knows, we when you're doing studies, you base it off historical data. You base it off what has it been costing. In this area, as around the country, in the Midwest, as a whole, because we really can't compare ourselves to California in certain areas, it's a different animal altogether. But especially in the Midwest, what do these types of projects cost per square foot? And there's variables in there. You know, do we want a fancy light? Do we not want a fancy light? What's the level of ballistic glass? What's the level of security glass? There's so many details that go into it. But when you're doing a study, again, everything's at a 50,000-foot level looking down. So
when you emailed me, is this what you had verified by an independent consultant?
Yep, we had an independent cost estimator we deal with, kind of look at it and bounce this stuff back and forth. And we did make a few adjustments. To tell you the truth, I had the jail cost a little bit lower. He said, no, we're seeing things come up, and that should be adjusted. So we adjusted that. I had the garage, the LEC garage, a little bit lower. Again, he said, you know, even on a tempered garage, because that's the way we do garages. It's not fully heated and fully air-conditioned. It's tempered just to keep it from freezing. It's good enough for vehicles to keep the ice and snow off and to keep them just generally protected. So, anyway, we got some good impact and good feedback from them, and we did adjust it. And it was a few upward adjustments from what we had. So all of these on option 1A, these are, you know, remodeling of the auditorium. We did include a plug number of about $1.2 million, because we know that there's going to have to be windows cut into the exterior that aren't included in remodeling costs. We know that there's some roof replacements and things. The last thing you want to do is you do all this interior remodeling and the exterior shell hasn't been fortified to make sure you don't have leaks, you know, 6 months, 12 months down the road from moving in there. So we have a plug number because we haven't done a facility assessment. A facility assessment of those existing conditions is a different animal altogether. So we had a plug number for that, which is a good safety net to make sure we cover that. We had the LEC garage, which was identified. The reason we identify, I'll make it clear too, the reason we identify these spaces differently, because they have different price points for the finishes, different price points for the construction. So a jail, and I'll do this once, it'll help to understand as we go through it. A jail is a higher construction cost because of all the security. You have solid reinforced walls that inmates can't get through that has a higher level of requirement. You have detention hardware, you have security electronics, you have a lot more specialties that cause a jail to be more expensive. Sheriff's operations, well, that's just general modeling costs. Garage, as I mentioned, nothing fancy, it's really just a garage base. When you deal with court services, it's slightly above what we would consider an office building. In essence, it's office space. But again, there's some security and some technology that elevates it a little bit. And the reason that this court entrance, court security, it does have some court screening, but it's actually a higher-end space. It's a lobby space, so you're going to have more durable, more kind of quality finishes. It is the piece that's attaching right next to the existing historic courthouse. So again, we're using materials that we want to make sure that they blend with that historic quality and keep that well. So those are kind of the price points. It's based on square footage. It's based on unit cost based on the things we talked about. We added a new generator into all of these. The generator would be sized really for the jail. That's that jail and a certain amount of sheriff's operations, actually, too. We include that because anything that's 24/7 emergency response kind of necessity should be on emergency power. So, and then the site development cost vary based upon the complexity of the site. You don't have a lot of sites that have too much grade. They're all basically tearing up things, prepping it for foundation, putting in foundation, power poles, utilities. That's all of that site prep and site development goes in that number. So you'll see that on the 212 site, it's actually a larger site development because it's a larger site and we're adding a lot more roads and things to get to that. So the site development cost varies based on the complexity of the site and the size of the site. Brings you to a subtotal. So construction and design contingency. So on every project, what's standard, and I don't know of any firm that doesn't do it, again, when you're at this 50,000-foot level, you include a construction contingency and a design contingency. As you go through that design process, schematic design, design development, construction documents, the only thing that should be left is anywhere from a 5 to 4% construction contingency. The goal is to not spend much of that money, but on every construction project, there is some amount of change and coordination and things that happen during construction. So you've got to give yourself a contingency to allow for that. But in early planning like this, you allow a minimum of 10% for construction and design contingency. Because, again, there's so many variables still to be figured out. We, on all of these remodeling projects, we've made it 12%. Because if any of you have ever done any home remodeling work, and especially in a historic type home, there's always some unknown thing you didn't know about. You open up a wall, you didn't know that was there. You peel a piece of floor up, and you didn't know that was there. There's a lot of variables. So we increase that to 12%.
And that 12% is for, because there's an old building involved with this, or is that?
Not an old building. It's a remodeling of an existing building.
Okay.
Remodeling of existing buildings, you need to allow a higher contingency because you just don't know until you get into it.
Yeah, okay.
So what we're showing now is a 2017 estimate. So all these values and all this is saying, okay, if construction were to occur in 2017, here's what that would be. Again, we talked to a number of people. The state of Minnesota would do their long-term projections, and I would imagine North or South Dakota is very similar. They'll put a contingency on there for inflationary cost of what that project is going to be when they actually execute the project. When we were going through the recession, it was very flat, 3%, 2.5%, 3%. Things didn't go up much at all. Some material cost a little bit, maybe. We're seeing, as things came out of the recession, things are, of course, starting to climb. We applied 4.5% per year. So that inflationary construction, that estimated construction inflation for 2 years is a total of 9%. So it's 4.5% per year. That's what comes up to this number up here. The other thing we added in here is so if anything was not county owned, we added purchase price property. And Tyler, that's kind of going back to what you said. Now, our understanding in some general discussions, I think, with Lee, is that the auditorium, there might be opportunity for minimal cost, if any.
Yeah.
So we put a zero there. At this point in time, until they get finalized, we're assuming that whether it's property trade or there's a minimal cost to it, it's absorbed in here. Soft cost, and I'll give you a breakdown of soft cost, just so you know. A breakdown of soft cost is a number of things. During construction, there's testing of concrete, there's testing of steel and welds and bolts. All of that testing is not done through the contractor. You want a third party to make sure there's no questionable information being shared. So testing of construction. Printing of bid documents, advertising of the project, any attorney's fee for closing of contracts, the architect and engineering fees, fixture furniture at what they consider FF&E, so fixture furniture and equipment, any new furniture, any new items that are going into that building go into that soft cost.
Construction management?
Soilborne. Construction management can be in that soft cost.
Okay.
There's probably a list, I want to say about 20 to 25 items. If you decide to do commissioning, the commissioning in some states has been required for schools and things like this. Commissioning is when you have an outside agency reviewing the mechanical electrical systems as they're being designed, and it's a separate firm, and then they actually review them when they're being installed, and they review them for a year after. The whole idea with that, in Minnesota, they've made it mandatory with all school districts. The whole idea is that you're getting maximum energy efficiency all the way through. Soft costs. Soft costs will range on most projects anywhere between 20% and 25% of the project cost. So soft costs are just to let you know, are anywhere from 20% to 25%. On your project, we've identified it at 22% at this point in time. So that's that number there is 22%, I believe, of this number here. I'd have to double check, but I believe it was that. So this was option 1A. The next one, oops, I just jumped through it, is 1B. So if you remember, and again, we'll make sure that everybody gets this. So if you look at roughly, if 1A... is roughly $31,399,755. And we'll give a summary sheet, like a cheat sheet of this too, that helps to identify and stack them up together. Then you go to 1B. So 1B is now same auditorium site, but instead of doing any remodeling at the existing courthouse, instead of building on that new secured entrance at the courthouse, now what we're doing is we're building a new judicial facility on top of that jail justice center and creating a true justice center. Same variables, square footages, but you'll see now that $29,638 is the number, that is the number of the program per the National Center for State Courts. That was the program area that they identified. Again, $255, it's an average. Courtrooms will be a little more expensive because of the technology, the finishes, things like this. So we average that out, and 255 is a good average to use. So you see that 1B, which is building all new judicial center, which is $33,814,000, it's roughly a difference of about $2.5 million to build the entire judicial complex at the new facility, versus remodeling and everything else at the other as well. So it's not a large impact. It is more money, but it's not a big impact. The next one is two. So, remember that $2.5 million, because that $2.5 million differential from 1A to 1B is going to be the same cost differential from 2A to 2B and 3A to 3B as well. It's going to be the same difference. So on 2B, which is the highway shop.
So this will really be 2A.
Well, yeah, ultimately this will be 2A, exactly. Yep, that should be clear. So 2A, which is really just building the jail and the sheriff's operations and remodeling the courthouse as needed, on this option it's $33,329,080 for that option based on standard costs. These costs are same now. The other thing, too, that you brought up, Tyler, just to address it, because you did bring it up, and I want to make sure I address it. You did ask, would things be more expensive over at the courthouse versus some of these off-site? Most of these, and we talked to some people that we work with as well, most of these square footage costs are based on a good mean average. They're not the lowest. They're not the most expensive. It's a good mean average. We looked at that, and it was really a very, very small percentage of change at all from one to the other. So we left it at kind of across the board, keeping the cost the same. Because the exterior shell, while it might improve a little bit, it's not going to be a big impact to this at all. So, again, the highway shop is at $33,300. Now, we did reduce the design and construction contingency on concepts 2 and 3 because we're doing a little bit of remodeling at the existing, but we're not touching an auditorium. We're not touching an existing building other than a little bit of remodeling at the courthouse, I should say. We reduce that contingency to 10%, which is standard, because really it's dealing with a new building less of an impact to the existing. We felt that was appropriate to reduce that to 10% for these two options. Option three, which actually would be a 3A.
So can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
On three, okay, so this is the one with just the in-custody.
Well, when we say in-custody, it's basically a large conference room.
Right, okay.
It's not a lot of space. I think we added about 800 square feet or so of space, and it's exactly what we did at Douglas County in Alexandria, Minnesota, which was a large meeting room that could be used for that kind of in-custody hearings.
So I just noticed that that the ending figure is lower than it was for 1A, which had the auditorium.
And the ending figure.
Yeah.
And this one?
Yeah, wasn't it?
No.
1B, maybe.
Yeah, so 1A is 31.
Yeah, and this
1B is 33, but again, we're building entirely new justice.
Right, and then the next one is...
Is not without a justice.
Yeah.
This is in the...
And so that is it that we save a little bit of money with having the auditorium already there? Is that kind of what... Where that,
I yes, mean,
I'm just curious,
exactly.
I'm just curious what the difference is.
By utilizing that building, which in our opinion is a fairly stout building, there's a good amount of remodeling that has to occur because everybody has to understand right now that whole gymnasium space is going to be converted to offices. And we didn't add for adding a second floor in that gymnasium. It's going to be, we're going to drop ceilings and we're going to create offices all in that support sheriff's operations. And we'll use some of the lower level area as well. But it's utilizing that and remodeling it so that it works for...
So it saves you some...
Save some money. Because we're using... Right. We're not having to build that entire new shell. We're figuring new mechanical, electrical systems throughout.
Yeah.
Because you will. There's nothing that's going to be... You're going to have to reduct everything. You have to replumb all the wiring. You have to have new bathroom layouts and things like that. But, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. So that was the highway shop. So on option three, then, $33,594,000. Again, same assumptions. Now, again, this is one I was saying for soft cost or site development cost. It's higher than some of the others because it's a much higher, much larger site. We're dealing with a lot more roads. Sites, I should also identify that we'll talk about too, the only options currently that provide on-site parking are options two and three. None of the others provide on-site parking. Now, options one could provide on-site parking if you acquire the majority of the property to the west of the auditorium or the west of the alley, and you tear that down and build a parking lot. So right now, these are the only two options that provide on-site parking.
Okay.
And in our matrix, which I don't think we've gotten to yet,
no.
That'll play into it. So that's site three. And again, two and three, you add $2.5 million to each of those, that's a complete judicial cost. 4A. 4A, so what that involves is the jail, like we talked about. Sheriff's operations, that's $230 a square foot for a new, basically, office space is standard. The garage cost is the same. The court services space is the same as we identified before. We've got some courts remodeling. Now, we did increase the cost of the courts remodeling in the existing courthouse was slightly increased from what we anticipated just because of the plaster walls and the cost of that facility. We figure it's going to be slightly more costly to handle that. We did add, so in this one, what makes some of the cost on this one a little bit higher is we know that from what we've seen from previous reports, your government service functions are approximately, and even with some increased area allowance, are about 17,000 square feet. So they don't take up all of the Midland building. They take up, what, three-quarters of the Midland building area. But it's not laid out to support government services at all. You go in that building, it's not like there's a receptionist for the various offices. It would all have to be remodeled to support government services. So that $100 a square foot is remodeling at least two floors of that building to support government services. So that $1.7 million is to remodel that building so it works for county government services. We also did add a plug number in there of $1 million. Again, there's a kitchen in there. There's some things that are going on that there's some exterior repointing that we saw. There's some things that we know there. I'm not sure it addresses it all because right now there's a lot of areas that have single-pane glass windows on there. So that cost here for bringing that building up to a certain level of upgrade requirement could actually be higher. I believe it's a new roof system. I think he did put a new roof on there, so the roof is good. But, again, when we look at that million, are we going to have to touch the old historic elevator, you know, and bring that up to a certain level? There's things that we know that the public bathrooms in that building would have to be brought up. They're not all up to what they would need to be as far as the number of fixtures and things like that. So there's some costs associated with the Midland building remodeling. There's also, we plugged in that's different from this one, is the cost of demolition of the existing jail facility, excuse me. In addition to this one that I'll talk about a little bit as well, is building phased impact. So when we looked at each one of these projects, one of the options is, so if you build at the auditorium, if you build at the highway shop, if you build at 212, you build the building, your inmates and sheriff move into the building, and everything's good to go. There's really not much phase. It's a single, do the work, go. Remodeling the courthouse, there'll be some little shifting, but it's not major. So we're assuming right now that the construction of a single-phase type project is roughly a 20-month construction project. In option 1A, it's two phases. You have to remodel the Midland building to move government services over there, to move the folks around and do some of the remodeling. Plus, you have to build part of the jail to be able to move the inmates into the jail before you can demolish the existing. So it's a two-phase project. The two phases will actually add about 4 months. The biggest impact of that 4 months is roughly what they consider general conditions and overhead for the contractor or the construction manager. So the supervision and the coordination and a little bit of startup and revamping of subcontractors equates to about $25,000 a month. So this $100,000 building phase impact is based on that 4 month extension. So that's where that $100,000 comes from. Generator's still there. The site work, again, we anticipate a little bit because we think we're going to be doing some remodeling of the parking lot and things around the Midland building as well, so we increase that slightly. So, again, all of those factors are why 4A is a $36 million, roughly, project. Oh, and then the cost of the property. Excuse me, I should have gone through that.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is it $900,000 or is it $1,000,009?
I think that's kind of ballparking. It could be a little higher, it could be a little lower.
Okay. Oops, sorry. So, yeah, so also included in that is
that book
is an estimated cost of purchasing the building for $900,000.
And that would mean all the park.
All
the parking around it.
Yep. So this one would give you some it'd definitely give you some on-site parking for government services.
Yeah, for
that. And again, if you build off-site, all that parking behind stays, of course, parking for when the existing courthouse stays government service parking as well. Yeah.
Can you? You might have done this already, Bruce. So forgive me, but on the site development cost, can you just explain? You have that line in most of them, right? The site development cost.
Yep, it's on every one of them.
What does that mean?
Site development cost is so that any utilities, there's always some utilities that have to be extended to the sanitary sewer, electrical, water.
Okay.
They're not all there, so you have to bring those utilities to the site. You're going to have to clear cut and prep the site to receive the building. So there's a certain amount of that will occur. Like at the courthouse, there's some grading that will occur. So we'll have some retaining walls and some things that will have to adjust for some of those grade heights. On the 212 site, we're bringing in all those new roads and all those new parking lots and the highway shop as well. So those all have additional site development costs.
Okay.
So it's not in the building cost. It's really site development cost.
Okay.
But the good thing was when we first started off, if the 212 site, this was one of the questions why we asked early on is how close the utilities are where some of these areas. If you had to bring water and sewer a mile away, that's a tremendous project cost. So the fact that utilities are all adjacent to all of these sites make them much more viable as well. So we didn't include any long distance utilities ones. We're assuming all of the utilities are fairly adjacent. Electrical is not a big one, but water and sewer can be a big one.
Okay,
so 4B was where the existing jail is remodeled for government services. So the county doesn't purchase the Midland building, but we remodel the existing jail for general government services, and where the existing courthouse really then becomes more of the judicial functions there. So again, the jail areas per program, the sheriff's operations is building in the new building. Some of these, there's slight nuances with some of the square footage based upon how things lay out on the site. So not all of the square footage on some of the four series are exactly the same. It depends how things fit on the site. So jail operations, LAC garage, the sheriff's garage for the vehicles, various vehicles. New court services, we went over existing court remodeling. We're trying to reuse as much of it as possible. And then remodeling of the existing jail sheriff's area. Now, the cost per square foot of remodeling that existing jail is very high. You've got to cut walls that are reinforced with steel at 8 inches on center. It's a lot of difficult remodeling. So the cost for remodeling a jail is a higher cost, and that's what that reflects. Again, the building phasing impact. So again, we looked at this one, and this actually requires, 4B requires a three-phase process. The three phases is to build the west portion of the jail and the jail operations and the courts that go above it, which is roughly a 16-month process with about 6 weeks of move in there to get the inmates over. It's to remodel the existing jail for government services. So now you got to go into that area. You got to gut, remodel. Once you move the inmates out, you got to gut and remodel and do everything, and the sheriff's operations out. You got to gut and remodel for government services, and then you move them over into that remodeled area. Now you can remodel the existing courthouse for court services. So it's a three-phase impact, and that ends up being about 9 months longer than the other proposed, and again at that $25,000 a month. So that was the phasing impact on this one as well.
Question?
Yes, sir.
Where are the numbers coming from? When I have 26 million and 57, it's coming 31.
Sorry,
25.9. That's about 25,900 plus 57.
Oh, you're right.
5.7 is only 31.
It is odd.
I check your formula in the spreadsheet.
I'll double check the formula. I'd rather than taking time right now, but yeah, I will double.
Fine.
No, it's a good point. Thank you.
Make sure those are all right.
Yeah, grammar sheet.
30. Yeah.
It's always good to have something that's good with numbers. To
it's a bonus contingency. Yeah, good catch.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go through as we're talking. I'm going to look at the others real quick just to see if. But you're right on two. And are we on two right now? Two is the same kind of thing, actually. Two is showing a higher number two. So we're going to have to go back and because two, actually, when I add it up right now, is showing
what's
31.
Adding that 2.1 in place.
Must have an error in the formula. Yeah. For, must have been a leftover.
Well, the good thing is it looks like it's going to be less
better,
expensive.
Yeah. It's going to be going the right way, right? Going the right way.
Right. Yeah, so we'll double check that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is, and let me see, did it do one on the 4A as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's increased a little bit here too because this should be 35 something. That should be about 35 million plus or minus. So I'll double check that. Mm-hmm. I think there's nine.
Yeah,
it might be.
I think that one's.
Yep.
I think that one's right. No, I think that one's.
We'll double check. Oh yeah, actually, with the 900,000, you're right. If you add that 34, there's 36. So this one should be right.
You deleted that.
That one should be okay. And this one, yeah, that one should be less. So we'll double check that. Then option 4C, I'm trying to think. So 4C is where we, help me, Aaron, what are we doing with this one? I forgot.
4C is a two-level jail.
This is remodeling the jail as well.
Yep. Oh, that's right. This one is remodeling the jail for sheriff's operations. That's what it is. So it's, and again, it goes back to a, I think it's a two-phase deal. We're building a portion of the jail. This one, actually, what's not in the cost, which we need to talk about, if we're going to build a portion of the... I think there might be a way to utilize some shelled area. I'm going to get on this for one area, just 1 second, just to help everybody understand that one a little bit better. The heck's going on? Stop working. I probably shouldn't have done it.
Is that your... Never mind.
I wonder if there's a problem opening up the... There we go. Okay, so this one I'm not going to... Yeah, is that what we're looking for? Okay, so for 4C, what happens is to convert this and remodel this for... Sheriff's operations. you have to build this to move the inmates, but you also have to have something for the sheriff to move into, and right now the plan would be that they'd occupy the space. So what we need to do is find, actually, I think what will happen is some of this courts area that will eventually be courts would temporarily be used for sheriff's operations to provide them some swing space. So the area on the ground floor, the area on the first floor that are designated for courts, that would actually have to be swing space for sheriff's operation. I'm not sure how great that works, because the other option is you lease space somewhere while that's being constructed. That's the one caveat with this estimate is there is a staging with the sheriff that somehow should be reflected, because that does have a time impact and it will have a cost impact to temporarily relocate the sheriff. So, and that's only on 4C. So it's a kind of a sheriff staging, sheriff's operation staging. I'll have to look at that, because that will have a little bit of impact with this. Anyway, I just wanted to show everybody that, where that was coming from. So we were at this one right here. So those are the cost estimates, as you can all see. Now, knowing that, I think one of the other... So where we're going with it is in the big picture is ultimately at some point in time, we're going to make a recommendation on which option we think is the best option. We're going to tell you, based on all this information and all what we've been absorbing in all these months, we're going to make our recommendation to this committee what we think is the best, based on operational efficiency, based on best security planning, based on long-range requirements for the county, based on cost, based on all these various factors that we've been looking at. And that, really, we're going to look into the matrix a little bit as well. But once you get to an option that you all think is the best, there's ways to do it over time as well. So 30-some million is a big number. There's ways to achieve it. Now, in our mind, the jail is probably one of the most critical off the bat. You have the most liability, most risk, I think, with some of what you currently are dealing with. So if you were to stage the project, and for example, say the auditorium site ended up being the best site, its proximity is good and everything else, you know, you build the jail operations first, that's a portion of cost. Then 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, whatever makes sense to the county and the budget and where you all want to go, you could, and this is just a suggestion, food for thought, you could then come along and then remodel more of the auditorium to move the sheriff's operations in there. So that doesn't necessarily have to go along. It could be a later phase. And then moving and building the courts, you have to plan for it, but then that could come along at a later phase. Now, the only reason I suggest that, in the long run, the county will actually pay more for that approach, because you're paying more because you're, again, that inflationary part we talked about, it's going to increase. There's going to be some inflationary impact for doing those pieces of the puzzle later on down the road. What they do, though, is they make potentially moving ahead with a project more palatable for the community as far as tax impact. So that's something just to think about. Because, again, as one of the next steps that we need to do is once we all agree, once you all tell us, you know, once we make some decision on what makes sense, and I think we talked about this a little bit too, is one of the next steps we need to do once we get all these numbers kind of polished out a little bit is to talk to one of these bond councils and say, okay, based on this project, what's a 20-year bond to Cottington County citizens for this project? And they can run these fee scenarios very easily, these tax impact analysis. If we do projects in three stages and here's the inflationary cost, what's that tax impact over time? And so they can run these analyses. So, again, I think it'll be a meeting at some point in the future where we all lay this out based on what they provide so you can look at those as well. Because ultimately, that's the biggest concern to the citizens of the community. They want to make sure, I don't think anybody's opposed to making sure you all have and the county has the appropriate spaces required. The big concern is always, what's it going to cost me? So those are the costs. We'll make sure we get these out. We're going to go through these a little bit more and polish those up, but those are the costs. The other thing that you all have in front of you, and I don't know if we want to turn the lights on or if we just want to view it up here, probably want to follow along with yours as well, but is the site evaluation matrix. So,
you guys prefer the lights on? Or this is what you have on your handout.
Lights on.
Okay. Lights on. Should we take a motion?
Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of information. It's probably much better for you all to look at the copy you have in front of you. So, what we did here is we have a we have a process for ranking sites to help provide a numerical analysis of how well a site. So we've done a lot of studies where we've had multiple sites, and part of it should never just be you try to limit the judgmental calls. You try to create something, a document, that really helps to say, you know what, it's clear. This is a better option. It numerically pencils out to be more appropriate. So utilizing the criteria that you all established, your site ranking, your site requirements, we utilize that to help then further look at these sites and how well they rank. So you had some must-dos, the minimum size to achieve the 20-year project requirements, the expansion capability as far as being expandable, and your preserving the historic facade and the rotunda. Those were kind of must-dos. So right now across the chart, you see all yeses. Now the question with some of that is, you know, there's better expandability. The other option is sometimes we break this into how well each of these sites achieve this requirement. Lee, I do want to talk to you about that a little bit more, because while we say yes across the board, the reality is building out at the highway shop, building out at 212, mm-hmm. provide long-term expansion capabilities that some of the others don't.
Yeah, the way we were thinking about it when we did we have the ease of expandability down there, so we just, because there were options out in the community, just build it here, two stories, you know, and that were just absolutely not, you know, that were not expandable. So we just wanted to get that out, eliminate, you know, screen those out, because those are essentially a waste of time. But we still have to have a comparative, so that's what the ease of expandability, for lack of a better term.
So we'll add some clarity to this chart for you. So I'll show everybody. So the chart that we typically use, that we've used on other projects, but we wanted to merge it with yours a little bit more. Shoot, I have way too many pages. Let's see if I can find it real quick. There's a chart we have used historically on our things that is a ranking system that kind of shows.
I think the main thing is, I know what you need to
understand the ranking criteria and system for it to make sense, Lee. That's all I'm.
It's really mostly.
Oh, here it is, right here. Okay, so this is typically the ranking system we put. Now we've tried to incorporate into this a little bit more. So what I want to explain though is, there's two parts to this ranking analysis. One is the priority rating. So there's a priority rating that's shown in these. That is, where is the priority rating? It's the rating number. So on this one, it says rating. So it's really a priority rating. So the higher the importance to the community and to this committee, the higher that rating number. So when you look at it, the first one you look at is operational cost. Well, an 8, the way we rank this, is our highest criteria. Mm-hmm. So on those ones where you look at, it should be 8 across the board. Well,
actually, let's back up a second. It isn't rating. That's why this is a little different than
the game. Oh, okay.
But we had.
You're right, actually.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
Column here will probably go away. This is just for today.
That's your terminology. It fits really well.
It's not going to go away. I think it's going to stay.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all clear what it is, but. But across the top, like say you look at operational cost, across here where it says 4, operational cost weight 3, that's the weight that we preliminarily put in here as a priority ranking. Yeah. Each of the sites, then that's a 3.
Yeah. So
priority
that weight
for a project is a 3.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what we did when we scored your proposals, actually, to pick an architect. So we had a weight for the criteria, and we multiplied that by the score. Mm-hmm. which is kind of what you guys are doing. That's what you're doing.
So
you're multiplying your weight by the rating, which gets your score. So 3 times 8 is 24.
Okay. Yep.
So that's great. Yep. And the difference, I think the difference to point out with the system that you guys traditionally use, and I realize we're a little unique because we went, because of what, you know, because of the previous vote and everything, we decided to establish our criteria, you know, before we actually hired an architect.
Yeah.
And so, but they fit really well. It's just, you just had them listed in a different order.
The only thing that I still, all of this is about identifying differentiators. It's about identifying differentiators from one option to the other,
mm-hmm.
and ranking those differentiators in a way that help you understand and see, you know, which one is a better solution. And so I do question, because right now we have a few that we're showing as considerations. So under operational costs, we have some considerations. The jail ops on one level, the courts ops on one level. Those are, each site provides, some of the sites accomplish that better, some of the options accomplish that better than others.
And that's, so for example, like on sites 4B and 4C, where the jail is on two levels, those get a nice low rating.
Exactly.
So, which you have there in operation. I guess I would have no problem if you wanted to
expand.
And this is, if you wanted to say, count each of those as individual scored criteria. The one thing we don't want to do when we do that is to say cause project costs to rise by adding in other factors to cause more important.
So what we need to do is, what I would propose is, you all need to look at that and give us your input, just like some of this operational analysis. We went ahead and we go ahead and say, okay, what is that weighting factor? So, you know, based on what you have here, Lee, you know, the there are ones up at the top are a must, but again, if I was reweighting this, I would put those all as fours, and I would weight how well each one of these go against that weighted factor. The operational impacts, you know, your must-dos, those threes, again, I would utilize that three as the priority ranking, the weighting, and the twos and the ones.
I guess it's up to, this is something we can talk about as a committee, but the thinking that how we approach that, say, preservation of the north facade and rotunda, that's an aesthetic consideration that is a must do. Down in, we have an aesthetic comparative, you know, scored criteria down below. So if, say, you know, the ones that are on the courthouse block where you're building buildings around the courthouse, that might score lower aesthetically, even though it meets that screening criteria, that must do criteria of preserving the north facade and the rotunda, it still, you know, might make the block a bit more less attractive and be, say, a lower aesthetic score than, say, building on a different site.
I mean, the way it is, the way the weighting works through right now, and again, you have your operational cost and those various considerations. So the operational cost, the way the weighted factor, and the eight as far as ranking. So if we talk, or rating, as we talk about that. So the rating of the operational cost, you know, you have the best operational cost, and again, I think there's some things that could be looked at, is the best of them occur at 8 at 1A and 1B.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little less operational efficiency when you have the courts separated from the jail facility, so that drops down to a 6. Again, at 2B, when they're all combined, it's the best operational efficiency. Yeah. Again, it reduces a little bit in 3A. It's better at 3B, and it diminishes a little bit. And I think the operational efficiency of the 2s had to do with the multi-story and the courts not on the same level.
If you do it this way or if you do it the way you do it, the only thing I would be concerned about is, you know, causing, by say having more sub, you know, kind of causing, say, what we would have as a priority 2 to rise to a priority 1, or, you know, get a heavier weight affected by having other sub-criteria that contribute, say, to project cost. So that would be my concern.
But at the end of the day, it's really, we wash it out to make sure we all agree that the priority rankings are the weightings,
mm-hmm.
and then how well each site satisfies that, we all agree it's generally in the range.
Yeah, I don't think anything really changed except, I mean, either way.
And then, as you go to the next one, efficiency of design for safe and efficiency again. So this, you know, when you look at that, some of the considerations, there's on-site parking. Now, we didn't do anything for on-site parking. There's no evaluation criteria for on-site parking.
We can just add it.
Yeah. But the reality is options 2 and 3 are the only ones that would rank high in that on-site parking evaluation because none of the others provide on-site parking. So that could be added. But
yeah, so we need to fix that on number one there.
Yeah. Ease of expansion, again, there's
on that on-site parking, though, to be fair, if you had the Midland building, there would be on-site parking.
You're right, and that wouldn't, but it doesn't serve the, it wouldn't serve the...
Not the jail, but it would serve the court.
That's true.
I mean, you might bump it up a little.
It would help. And you're, so it's not...
County office.
Exactly, so you're not going to give it a poor ranking, you might give it a fair ranking. Yeah. You're absolutely right on. And that's where this whole discussion comes in, because you want to rank them appropriately.
Correct.
The ease of expansion, there's some that, again, when you're building off-site at the highway shop or 212, because of the amount of land around that, you can expand. The auditorium, also, if you have the property to the west of the alley and you can use that for parking initially, again, it's good for the expansion as well. So that's a much easier expansion. Anything on the court site is going to be locked in. There's really very little expansion capability unless we build in the additional structural support to go vertical. So there is that inherent, but it's going to increase costs which aren't currently reflected.
So now when you say on-site parking, you're talking about a parking lot. Doesn't the parking on the street all the way around?
The zoning information that was in this information that we've gone through before, anything in the downtown district does not require on-site parking.
Oh.
It's not required by zoning.
Right.
Any of the off-sites, the highway shop at 212, because of the zoning, they required what's considered on-site parking.
Okay.
So if you were a developer and you were going to build a new hotel or something, they tell you, it's great, the hotel's nice, where are people going to park? You know, is it a requirement based on zoning, which downtown it's not. And then there's the other, just the practical feasibility-ness of it, we got 80 people coming into court or whatever for the lawyer process or whatever, where are these people parking? I mean, so there's a practical level and then there's a requirement level.
So site number one, the auditorium.
What, the year process, excuse me.
There would be a lot of parking along the streets, not on site. But along the streets.
Yes. Yes.
So how would that be included in the rating? Would you include that in the rating somehow?
I wouldn't, because it doesn't enhance the development. I think parking is available, if it is available, if there's not other people parked there.
Well, I don't think people like to walk too far.
I think what we have to do, that's a good point. I think if I can offer an answer to that, I think adding that as a criterion, it's probably good, but we just weight it low, so 0.5. But also, when we do the rating, we take into account the fact that for the downtown ones, they're probably going to be lower than the other ones. But on the other hand, maybe not that low because
there's
still on street parking.
Yeah.
Lower, but not that low. That'd be kind of how I would.
So we're going to have to go through and adjust some of that as well.
Quite honestly, I think the whole parking issue kind of equals out the whole keeping it to uptown. I mean, basically your farther away sites have the parking, so they're going to be rated higher, but your other ones that are all downtown is fulfilling that answer. I mean, you got...
So it's kind of a wash. It's close
credit
to a wash. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're giving equal credit to both.
Yeah.
Well, you have to consider, though, for even staying downtown, with parking, if you have people who are handicapped or women
you're gonna have to have
the wake office with babies, and they're parked, two blocks.
You're going to have some. Yeah, you're going to have something.
Now, could you work with the city to get some designated spots adjacent to the... We've seen that before.
Probably handicapped. So I think maybe we should shave off a point or two,
even currently in our parking lot, they have handicap accessible. I'm sure they can put them all along the street.
Yeah. The question, for us right now is as far as how this calculates out. As far as the system, so what we've done is, just so everybody understands, the sheet that Bruce was holding up with the yellow lines on it was basically that middle column, and the criteria were in a different order. So it had, 15 different ones. And so then what this shows is just how those match up with the ones that we approved. And so this is probably something that this will make it a little clearer to the public and to ourselves as we go through it, since we have this set of approved criteria, which I realize it makes it a little bit more of a pain for you guys, because you had it's a little bit different than how you were doing it. But I think it still comes out to buck. The rank ordering and things like that would end up being pretty much the same.
It's not the way this works out right now. It's identifying 2B and 3B as the preferred sites. It's identifying either the highway shop or the 212 as the preferred sites, just on the ranking analysis.
Yeah.
Ours, when we went through it, it had, when we did our initial one, it had those were actually pretty much in line, but it also showed that the auditorium site was much closer in a ranking scenario. So, you know, that's kind of what it showed with that. So,
Well, you didn't, but on that one, did you have 2B or 2B and 3B?
No, I didn't have 2B and 3B the issue on that. So they would have been very close.
Yeah. Well,
But I was just, as we were talking, I was looking at it, and number of point system, it's coming out very similar to the ranking of how things fall.
But like I said, if you really want to, I mean, does the committee have any feelings strongly one way or another? I think it's important to present it in this order with those pre-approved criteria on there.
And we could add some more lines to it below.
Yeah, but if you want to expand those, that as long as it doesn't skew, our prioritization, I don't think that's going to...
And ultimately, you all will look at the ranking and the points and say that we agree with that or we don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. So it all has to tie back together. We'll give our justification, our rationalization of some of this stuff. So I'll go down just to continue down what's being shown there. So
are we not going to do anything with that on-site? You know, like Tyler said, it's going to wash out, so...
I think you still could show it, because it will. It'll just show that it's how it's pointed out, or you could tell us right now. You know what? Don't worry about it.
I would say, like Carolyn said, it's going to wash out, so don't even worry about it.
Okay, that's how the committee.
So are we good with? I mean, what we're talking about then is taking off that bottom other, the one we added for parking. Parking is up on.
It's right up in here.
Yeah, that's in the on-site. That's the efficiency.
Can I just add something about parking?
Mm-hmm. No.
When you're inviting jurors to sit on a complex case where there's a lot of emotion involved, to have a safe place for them to park that's designated, as well as for the employees, is really important. I think from the court standpoint, and to just tell people that are coming for jury duty to park anywhere they can find a parking spot downtown is not fulfilling the obligation of the court system to make sure that it's a safe place for people to come, the litigants as well as the jurors. And I think parking is important. I think it's something that should be taken into consideration from the court standpoint.
There's very few facilities that we've done that don't provide parking either on site or adjacent to. So I agree with that. I don't think it's appropriate for the community or the courts. Mm-hmm. Now, the ideal court system, of course, is where you have some kind of secured parking below the building, but we're not including that in any of these scenarios.
Let's.
I'm just going to mention from that. I did set on a. Murder trial, maybe it was manslaughter, I think. And there was a lot of emotion in town. Oh, man, this, happened. And I never even had that concern when I was on that jury. I mean, I just come and park, and maybe I'm not normal.
Well, I think from the standpoint of the court itself...
The court might consider that.
The court has an obligation to provide a safe place in the county... has been handed that job as well by the legislature. Mm-hmm. So it's a concern, I think. I mean, you'd have to ask Bob, I'm out of the business, but I saw things happen in the parking lot. I saw things happen in the courtroom and the hallways that always you know, is stuck in the back of my mind, that this is a situation that needs to be corrected, if it possibly could be corrected.
Hey, Judge, I'll counterbalance Al's point that on the other perspective, on the jury trial that ended in late November, and the sheriff was there personally, we had to have three or four deputies in the parking lot because the jury sent me a note after the verdict that they did not want to go through the courtroom, down the steps, and go through the family members on both sides. Mm. And there was some heckling going on in the parking lot that Friday night with at least one individual toward the jurors who were trying to leave. So we had to have extra security and deputies there.
Did they arrest
to
you?
Deal with that.
Did they arrest you?
Nobody was arrested, but they were warned, weren't they, Toby?
Yeah, they were asked to move to separate areas of the building. Yeah. It was a very tense situation. There was one individual that was a family member on the other side that showed some unpredictable behaviors. Yeah. And yeah, escorted the jury out separately.
Private parking area. This would be for the judge to say, okay, no contact with the jurors when they leave. If you do, you're in contempt of court.
Well, that's what I did.
Oh, you did that. And the guy still...
The jury requested now. At the end, we give the jury instructions. Don't talk to anybody about this case while the trial is going on. But then my final instruction after the verdict, if you want to talk to people, you can. But if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Yeah.
They said they wanted to get out of the courtroom through the...
Right.
They sent me a note through the bailiff after they reached their verdict. They just wanted to get out of there and didn't want to talk to anybody or deal with the family members on either side.
Right.
So we have that going on in this community.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like we need to leave it on. I mean, at least put it on there, print it on there, whether we actually score it separately or not. That's maybe another thing. But
For the next go around, I would suggest adding it because I do think it has enough important weight, and I think we should add it just to see how it flushes out. The next item is I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just to continue to run down this. So expandability, again, there's certain options that you can see are more easily expandable than others. This is one that correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, because we kind of went back and forth with you on this, but the rating system goes from 8 to 0 or 8 to 2?
Yeah, that was your rating system.
Okay.
That's
so,
yours.
Okay,
I just
so
used
our
yours.
Rating system then, 8 was considered excellent, 6 is considered good, 4 is considered fair, 2 is considered poor, and 0 is if it just doesn't apply at all, but basically it's an 8 through 2 based on excellent, good, fair, or poor. So when you look at ease of expandability, I think fair is probably appropriate for option 1 because, again, if you acquire the property further west of the alley, you demolish some of that area that's west, you can go more expansion.
That's the city auditorium.
Yep. Again, the two open sites, they're excellent because you got a lot of availability. All the option 4s, you're building out as maxed as the area will go, and there's really no other area to go. So they're shown as poor.
I might say, you know, since you could, I might say that 4A is slightly better because if you had to, there is some room for... All of these options have that 32-bed expansion possibility. All of them.
Yes, all of them have.
So, what we're really dealing with is long-term expansion, like a new pod kind of thing, a whole new.
And to be fair, too, 4A gives you more opportunity because now you've bought the Midland building. So, I think the rating of that does go up a little bit. I think it is potentially as a 4 in that rating.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's no reason we can't interpolate and say a 3 if you want to.
I just keep using it simple. it depends what you all want. We've always used the 8-6.
That's fine.
You know, okay, and it's always worked out to be to make sense and rationale with it. The next rating had to do project cost. So again, really the way the project cost should look at is the ranking of that or the weight of it was a 2. So from our standpoint, a 2 was kind of a medium priority. It wasn't the most critical. It wasn't a 4. You know, we're in the or 3 in where you have your kind of other ranking, but so it's a 2, so it's important, but it's not the most important. So You can see that ranking across the board, that line that goes right across here is all twos. So every one of them, the cost is the same. Now, just like we went through, the so then again, excellent, the 8 would be the one that was least costly. The next after that would be the one that was, you know, so as you saw in the pricing, a lot of those were fairly comparable. So, you know, in the cost weighting, and we'll have to double check this too. So option 1A was the least expensive. And then there's a kind of a grouping of them that are all very close to that $30, $31 million, which were, you know, 1B. And then we had...
Of course, the numbers, we have to check them all because they were...
Is everybody okay with... So what we're still saying is that project cost is less important than operational cost, which I think is correct. But do we want to... Is everybody okay with that weight being 2 in this case when you actually calculate it out, or do you want to make it like 2.5 or...
Where is that one at?
Project cost right here.
Number six.
So we're talking about how... Now...
I have another suggestion too, along that same lines. If that within your priority 2 level, does that, like you're saying, rise higher, making all the number 1 priority levels 4s instead of 3s, and then so you go from 4s.
You could. I mean, I don't think as long as there's a different. I mean,
that's another way to do it.
Yeah, you could do it that way too. So finding So, what do you guys think? What is it? What do you think on that one? You understand? So, do we want to bump up the weight of that criterion to make us worry more about it? I mean, I think it's going to...
I think it's okay the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine either way, really.
I do want to... You know, I know we need to quit. We need to check those numbers and the math that we have, too, but... I do want to ask, you know, if you look at 2A and 2B and 3A and 3B, those numbers are ranked or rated the same. I don't think they ought to be. I think they ought to be different.
I think when you guys re-scrub those numbers a little bit, I think we'll just go with what, I mean, that's going to change a little bit, we understand. Yeah.
You're paying a little bit more for a unified judicial facility, that $2.5 million we talked about, but it's operationally, it's a lot more efficient as well.
Yeah.
So the other considerations that were under that project cost was whether it was county-owned or not. So we didn't do a ranking of that because it's not a big... It's a consideration.
It's already in your cost estimate.
It's in the cost estimate. So is the phasing impact.
It's already built in.
It is a consideration, but it's already in the cost estimate.
Yeah. Well, that's why... That's all it means is stuff you think about.
It's in there, exactly.
Yeah.
Midterm adaptability, as far as that weight, again, that was given a 2... And when we say midterm adaptability, our understanding from your matrix is the ability to remodel, to expand.
To update, with an older building, like the courthouse, or, you know, you got more work if you want to put a sprinkler system in it, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot more. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And that came out of something I read in the NCSC report that was in their report.
Midterm adaptability.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you can see again, you know, there's the off-site facilities, because they're new and a little more flexible. They were the excellence. The auditorium is good, and then the existing courthouse is not. It's fair, but it's not as good as far as that adaptability. So I think that's appropriate the way that's shown. Mm-hmm. You all are probably, this is the first time you've all seen this. You all are going to have to absorb some of this, and I think the next go around. What we'll do is I'd like to do the revised one, kind of review it a little bit, and then make sure that everybody has time to review it before the next meeting. Because at some point in time, all this information that we're presenting, especially this, is important to present to the public as an overview as well.
Yeah,
that would be part of a public meeting at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Not to go into this level of detail we're going into tonight, but to summarize the analysis.
You could just kind of subsume, you know, all of it together into the left column, and then... You know.
Yeah. So. Well, I think it's good. You need to know what the site options were, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Forget what I said. We'll talk about
it.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's in my head. It's going on.
Then the next one, as we go down the line, aesthetics. And aesthetics, you know, again, so the weighting for that is a 1. You know, you want a nice facility, but it's not it's not the most important, so it's a 1. But again, that was part of your initial ones for the aesthetics. And I'm not sure, on the rating on those, we have 6.6, 8.8. So, you know, to be quite honest with you, Lee, I think you could achieve the same level of aesthetics across the board the more I think about it. I know we're good architects. We're very good architects. So I'm always going to toot our own horn.
Okay.
But I know we can make all these very, very nice buildings for the county. So I'm questioning the rating on these.
Okay.
I think
I don't know
if they'd be all excellent. You know, they would. But I think we at least say they're all good. I would say they're going to be.
Yeah, the only thing I was thinking. I think for the auditorium block. For the auditorium block, I think definitely. For the only, and I'm not questioning your ability to make the buildings beautiful, is there an aesthetic aspect to crowding onto that courthouse block?
That's true.
So maybe
it is a little more difficult.
Maybe 5.625 and 3.6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yes. That helps a lot to clarify that, because that can be a very subjective category.
Right.
I don't like the 666 thing at the end, though. I don't like that.
We'll keep spaces between.
Let's not do that one. Okay.
The next one down was the location. And so I think there was some discussion about the location staying in the downtown area, and that was a desirable.
There's definitely a community desire. Yeah. So.
But it was not the heaviest concern. It was kind of a weighted of a 1.
Yeah.
And again, if that is what all this group agrees to, that it's important, but it's not the most important.
What does the group think about the 2Bs are the highway shops, so that's a little closer than the 3s, the 3A, 3B. I'm just curious what folks think. And then the county offices would still stay downtown. County business would still stay downtown in any of these scenarios.
So any of the ones that are either at the auditorium or the courthouse, those are all excellent. Those are all 8s.
Yeah.
As you get further away. So the question is it a little bit more desirable to be at 212 versus the highway shop from a visibility and accessibility standpoint? I mean, that might be a little more desirable site. It might be a 6 versus a 4, or it might be a 5 versus a 4.
Or as long as you're out of downtown, or you're just out of downtown.
That's true, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I would agree with your last statement. I think if you're not downtown and you're out.
Yeah, okay.
Another serious consideration that you probably want to put in there, though, is if it does go to the highway shop, there's going to be some displacement of the highway department.
That's going to be, we do. But that's back in the
project. I mean, right now, it looks like it's just his material piles.
There's going to be a lot of traffic on 20 and 14th and 10th Avenue in the mornings and afternoons as people are going out to the airport. People are to the industrial site out there. People are coming up 14th into town, go to school buses, people dropping off kids, that sort of thing. So it seems to me that from a traffic standpoint, 212 is probably more accessible, at least during those busy hours.
You got a 4-lane going out there.
I would think there should be at least a point difference between the A's and the B's, just to make the point that the courts would essentially still stay downtown.
Oh, yeah. Excellent point, yeah. Okay, so that's so that would be like 2A would be
at
6.
At least a point difference, if not 2.
Yeah. I'd say so. 2 and 3 on this chart would be a 6, with that rationale, right? That's an excellent point.
Okay. May I say something as a member of the general public?
You have to bang the chair.
Well, you are the caterer as well, so I would say yes.
Knowing that you need to persuade the rest of the public and that their focus is on the costs of the project and the location, and I know that you have put a lot of thought into the weight of reading of this, but I know that the architects found a slightly different weight for 1A and 1B, and I would be interested in knowing what was the cause of those differences. But I'm just wondering if you might reconsider the weight of the location and the project costs, because that's what the rest of the public is really going to focus on.
Good point.
So, like, yeah, okay.
Well, so, should the project cost be more of a
bottom line? Yeah. I mean, even though you may have done all this thinking and wise decision making, they may not pay a whole lot of attention to that. They're going to go back to project cost and location.
But also, then you have to consider the operational costs that they don't think about ongoing.
Right.
Yeah, that's the point we have to make strongly.
Yes. Yeah. So you can keep, presenting those three points because that's what's most key. But I'm just saying, would you please reconsider the weight of project cost and location?
What do you?
The highest was $1.22.
Okay, so an idea might be, to add a half a point. I'm comfortable with decimals. The spreadsheets say they're really close.
I'd also like to hear why BKB
the time
for which one? For location?
I thought earlier you were saying in total points that you could actually come up with a higher score for one A and B than what's...
Can I see your sheet? I got it.
So you start at the highest.
I think there were still a few numbers that needed to be flushed out there a little bit.
No, three was still higher.
Yep.
Yeah. The relative. It's still the same relative.
He said every year.
Yeah, it's still the same. It's just we added in 2B and 3B are in there.
So on the weighting, based on the general public's comment, can we increase the weighting for the project cost? Should that be a little bit higher than two?
But how would we do this? This is just an idea. I would say either we could just add a decimal to project cost and the location. It would still maintain our same priority of 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. So 2.5 for project cost and 1.5 for location. Is everybody good with that? Do we need to? How does that grab you? So that's
1 and 1.5.
Yeah. So that shows that we understand the community places a value on location. We still keep. We got to make sure that operational cost stays higher than project costs. So whether it means increasing all of the weights that are 3s to 4, and then the project cost to a 3, and the
keep it all relative.
But why don't we? So I would suggest adding a 0.5 to project cost and adding a 0.5 to location. Are you guys okay with that? I mean, do we need to?
Well, all the rest of the numbers are 2, 4, 6, 8, so I'd say go to 2, keeping standard. Sorry, Nate.
It's a spreadsheet. It's really cool the way it works. It just magically does it. I don't know how it does it.
Can I ask a question related to that? Has there been any commentary from the public about the criteria that
I've only gotten very general comments, and other committee members probably and commissioners probably have heard things too, but those that I think pay attention to it generally like it, and that they're, I get a sense that they, since we're, we've learned from the previous vote that we're being more deliberate in the process. So I think it's a very general, nothing very specific. We say it over and over again. We can, same thing with like in the video that we did on criteria. One of the videos that I'll show you tonight as we talk about cost estimating. So. Anybody else hear anything from the community? Mm-hmm. Okay.
The question I always hear is it going to stay downtown? That's the first question.
Yeah, and the city's charrette process of downtown revitalization
is very important.
They keep, and they're the city's talking about a new city hall and another just on the edge of downtown, and that's got kind of controversial for some people. So is everybody, can we just do this by consent, or if somebody wants to
make a motion on it, we can, but I would support adding 1.5 to making the weight on location 1.5 and the weight on project cost 2.5. Okay? Mm-hmm. That way we're still maintaining the same prioritization. We might flip around aesthetic and location on a position on the chart, but other than that, they still maintain the same overall priorities. Is everybody okay with that? Okay. So that's the concept.
What is the reason for putting 0.5 on?
Because it's just a little easier
when you add them up.
Yeah. Well, all it's gonna what that's gonna do is just gonna increase. So for example,
mm-hmm.
I mean you could. It's just easier. So I'll explain why. Here's why it's easier. Okay, the options are we raised so all the
picture on the board.
Yeah.
Lee, do you want me? I've got the live version. Should I just go in and start to edit it? I mean, we can increase it.
Sure, but okay. So in order to maintain these as higher priority, we'd have to increase all these weights. So if we increase project cost to 3 as opposed to 2.5, then that means we have to increase operational cost. So it just creates a chain reaction in the chart. It's still going to maintain the same overall priority. So it's just, you know, the spreadsheet, it's not hard to use a decimal point. And then the same thing here, we want to make sure that we don't raise that to a 2, because then you have to raise all these again. So you want to try to maintain this priority,
right.
Unless we have a good reason to change it.
But I think when Ann had a good comment, so Julie was, everybody's concerned about location. And so that should be a higher priority then on our chart. We don't have to change the operational cost. That's still a 3. But you have your 3 main ones, operational cost, and the location.
But
and that's what the public's going to be looking at. So,
I agree with you on that. But I do think that if you were to ask most people in the public that what's going to be a greater concern, the cost or the location? Mm-hmm. What do you think is greater?
What is our cost right now? 2.
2. Yeah. But I was proposing increasing that to 2.5. So I mean, if we increase location to 2. And then that means we should recommend a change to the overall to our criteria to the county commissioners and mm-hmm. And that's what that would mean if we without doing anything else. That's what that would mean.
That would not be so bad.
Although
I don't.
Most of the people are not going to be looking at operational costs, but do.
We need to make that point.
Yeah,
we need to make that point.
And but you have your. Cost of the project. I just think it needs to be a little higher because that is a really important spot in the people's minds.
Are you talking about
location?
Okay, so just that.
And you can move the other one up to 2.5 if you want.
Well, I think we should.
Yeah,
I think we should. So
move the one to 2 and the other one to 2.5. It shows a little more.
Okay, hold on a second.
That's just my thoughts. Everybody else.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, I think it comes down to, I think it comes down to, are we saying that?
Is it right or not?
Are we saying that location is as important as project cost? I mean, I think we have to say ourselves, yes, we're balancing what we see from analysis, from thinking about this ourselves, plus what we understand the public wants because they have the main voice.
But there's, remember, they're the ones that are going to be working.
Right, but we also have a job to persuade. And so for operational costs, we owe it to the public. Even though the public doesn't think about operational costs, right. We owe it to
the
public.
Oh, I agree. You have an operational cost up there. That would be easy to, or maybe not easy.
Are we going to show this to the general public?
Are we
going to show this to the general public?
In maybe not in this exact form, but pretty much. You know.
Do you say you drag it?
I think in this form, I think it's either going to confuse them or it won't make them lose interest.
Yeah, it won't be quite this boxy. But that's why we had the criteria video. I mean, just to say what we're doing.
I think we've already showed the public. I mean,
This was one of the first things that we developed as this committee was the criteria.
Yeah.
Which was, what, almost a year ago?
Yeah, it was early this year that we approved
how many people looked at it.
Well, that's, I mean,
that's a good question. There's no way to analyze exactly how many people look at it. But
that's our job. That's why we're doing these public presentations. So I think that
my point is we put the criteria out there and we tried to explain it as best we could as to why project cost was a higher rating than. Mm-hmm. The overall, operational cost was higher than prior.
Yeah.
So I think, you need to keep it relatively the same.
I also
you want to add the 0.5 here or there. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But I mean,
the other thing, I think can I just add, just to add to what Tyler's saying, is as people who've been studying this issue, I mean, what do we really think? Do we really think project cost is more important than location, or the same, or less, or what? I mean, I personally think that project cost is more important than location.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
And so we, at the same time, we're balancing that with what the public would probably think by adding a 0.5 to each to this weight. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's easily to sell to the public, because you can say, look, if you don't think project or operational costs are that important, if whatever we build and the operational costs are that much more, mm-hmm. we're as a county going to have to start raising your taxes to collect more just to run the operational mm-hmm. costs.
No, I think that's valid. I'm just saying that for the people. Well, I don't care. They're going to vote on it one way or the other, but you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. No, and you're right.
And that's not very much weight on that. But
well, it does factor in, though. I mean, it does.
It adds a little bit. But
yeah.
But
well,
if you're trying to justify to the public and you're putting it on the same level as aesthetics, I'm not going to trust your wisdom as much.
Aesthetics is now, but aesthetics is now the lowest.
I may know your wife.
You should question our wisdom.
Good answer.
But just again, the general public is going. Go ahead and sell them on operational cost. That's very good. But I don't think you're going to be able to justify to them that location was such a low priority in the decision making. I think that. You might need to reconsider putting it at a higher level, whether it messes with your chart or not.
Yeah, no, you're right. We have to, if
it
needs to.
With operational costs, project costs, and location, I think, are what you're going to have to sell them on. And you may be as wise as you want, but the public is going to boil things down to those three categories and make their decisions, and you had a hard time.
Yeah.
To
so,
listen to the other details before. So
your worry is that okay. So even if we put location above aesthetics, I mean, I think.
One thing I would like to add, if I could,
please.
The main reason that I'm remembering we put aesthetics in there. Was because we wanted something, we wanted plans, ideas of adding onto the courthouse. Because quite honestly, the aesthetics, like you said, for a new building at the highway shop or the 212,
it's all going to be the same.
They're going to be the same, yeah. There's like absolutely no worries about the aesthetics of what the new building is going to look like. It was the adding onto the courthouse, and I mean,
what about lowering then your what about lowering?
That's what I remember why we had it on there. How is it going to tie into the courthouse and what's it going to
look
like?
Well, also we just don't want to build a pole barn too. You know, we want it to be we want it to look like a courthouse even if it's new. I mean, that's part of it too.
So maybe it shouldn't be a ranked number in here.
Well,
we
could lower it down to a 0.5 if that's what we think. I mean, if that's how we want to. I mean, if it's that unimportant, but.
Just leave it in the way that is.
It sounds like there's enough discussion to where we might want to next meet. We might need to put this on the agenda too.
Can I raise one more question on the project cost importance? Is that
you look across the board at all the different options, the swing is probably between $33 and $36 million. There's a $3 million delta between top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a lot of money, any of them are. And how much of a differentiator is there between those two, or those nine?
It's a small
It's a hard swing to make,
I think we're going to have to, I mean, this is going to help us lay it out. What we need to do in the public awareness, though, is explain this well, and particularly, I would say, emphasizing operational costs, which we've been trying to do.
Operational cost would be the biggest differentiator that I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
And as we saw with the numbers that we have, there are clear differentiators among the operational costs.
Yes. And location too, you know. So we got some, but we're. Okay.
And I'm sorry to interfere, but again, I'm really curious why BKV gave Site 1 a higher score using their criterion.
It wasn't a higher score. It actually elevated it a little bit, but it still didn't elevate it above what these were actually showing that we had.
It was very
comparable. The numbers were a little different, but it was very comparable.
The relative rating's the same,
the
ranking. It's just we added in 2B and 3B this go-around.
We did, you know, we had construction phasing impact in there, so we looked at the new versus remodeling, and so that varied it a little bit. But again, I don't think that's a big criteria that, well, one, it's not one that you've established in your initial matrix. So
it's operational cost is coming down to be the key.
It is.
Yeah, and efficiency, design efficiency.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, that's why those are the important.
So we'll refine this. We'll make sure you get a chance to get it and send it out to everybody as well.
We'll see if...
Will it be in a forum we could each adjust it and put how we think it is and bring it back to the next meeting?
We can do it that way. We can do it that
way.
That
way you can show it.
My only concern for that is then we're going to have 18 copies potentially up there. I think if you've all got a hard copy and marked it up, then it would...
You can get it to me or just tell me what to... And then we'll consolidate the ideas. But I think we probably need to put it on as an agenda item just to confirm, redo it, confirm it, and then. The other thing is, I'm thinking we probably want to have the county commissioners approve it again. So.
It is an important part of the analysis.
Yes. No, it's critical. I mean, it's how we objectify. That's how we maintain our objectivity. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Can I ask another question, too, that's a little bit of a tangent here, but somebody, I can't remember who, mentioned the displacement of the highway shop.
Yep.
And is that something that we should be considering in a project cost?
Yes.
I think we have to. That's what I put down as a note, too. I think we have to look at that for the highway shop as far as what the potential cost could be.
Moving some piles and some in the weed shed, and I think...
Yeah, the one, there's an old shed there that would be really no loss, but he's got his... reground, blacked up asphalt pile. Mm-hmm. He's got his gravel pile.
He's got his material piles over there.
He's got several material piles. And then the one little building in the back is the weed shop, which is a pole barn.
But that's probably for his lawn, his mowers and things like that, maybe?
No, the weed shop has, they have
pesticides.
Four sprayers.
Okay.
Three trucks and a UTV spray truck with all their stuff.
There may be a lot of interesting things in the soil out there.
Yeah, because it's always been there. I mean, years ago, the old rig sat there.
Probably shouldn't have any weeds.
Well, and another thing that'll come into this, too, is, again, getting these soil borings, you might find out there's all kinds of costs associated with some of these sites. So the soil testing will be important. If it's all right with this group, I'd like to talk to the city engineer or the county engineer and talk to him about this and what would need to be relocated. Or would you directly?
We can talk. Yeah, we can talk to Rick. His name's Rick Small.
And we can do a conference call with
him. Yeah, that'd be good. Tyler, are you who's Rick's liaison? Yeah, we can set something up.
Mr. Chair, as the county commissioner, my comment will be very short, but I represent a huge portion of the rural community. Are they going to be concerned about the location or the cost? Cost. I mean, if my neighbor or friend out there has 6 quarters of land, he doesn't really care where it's located, he's worried about what's going to cost him. Okay. Point blank.
So I'm hoping that 0.5 on both of those
ups the cost, the cost, and then ups the location concern too. So keeping that relative.
And I know where the votes are coming from. I mean, majority of the votes are in town. No question about that. But you know, I have to answer to my rural community, and that's their number one concern.
It's a cost, yep, which is always the case.
Yep.
Makes interesting. Yeah. Good discussion.
One other thing, like, if I could, when we get into these public information meetings, one of the things that provoked the location issue to be number one from before was the misconception and not understanding. I mean, the little old lady approaching Lee Gable going, so are you guys still looking at moving the courthouse? You know, the whole conception of what is going to be moved if it was an off-site project. You know, your general business is still in the courthouse. It's all downtown. It's the courts, services, courts, and the jail.
Yeah, I think that brings up a good point, though, is that as part of these options, we might need to start adding in a sentence, you know, a portion of that concept, like what happens with the newly vacated space in the courthouse. And some of that should be designated as expansion space, but in some of these options, say you're going to have a lot of vacant space, and so what do we do with that? And we have to say that. So, and I realize you guys can't say that right off, you know, but that's something that we need to.
Well, there's clearly some that have more vacant space than others,
right.
But the one thing that's not taken into consideration, too, is the county offices, as they are, probably do need some expansion space.
They will over time, yeah.
That hasn't been accommodated. So if there's a little flex space in the courthouse, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, no. But it would be, if we say the options, the Bs, the 1B, 2B, 3Bs, that would clear up almost a floor,
yep.
And so that would be something where we want to say, what are we doing with those?
And one of the things that always comes in other projects we do too is, are there other agencies that aren't currently in the building that could be relocated there? Whether they're part of the county system, whether they would potentially be lease payers that part of a government system. I think that's another thing to be discussed. Is the best utilization of that space?
I can speak for that. I'm the chair of the ICAP board, and ICAP used to be located in the courthouse, and they had to move out. They would gladly come back.
Well, that'd be okay. That's an option. That's a good option.
Yeah.
The other option, and one option that the paper mentioned along back on the first go around was, offering space to the museum, as well. I don't know if that would work. That might not. It's a cool place for people to visit, so it's a beautiful building. So,
I'm pretty sure Starbucks wants to be in there.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, I stopped there. No, you didn't tell me that tonight.
I heard that. I wanted.
So that would be excellent to be able to say, okay, in this option, okay, this agency, we'd offer it to this agency.
And sometimes there's some state organizations that we've seen in other communities that are off-site, but then given the opportunity to be in a government complex, we'd rent space there.
Yeah, okay.
Mentioning those that are opportunities, but they're not factored into the project cost.
Right. But I think the key thing, that one thing that made the public uncomfortable the last time, and, it's just a live-and-learn kind of thing, is, it started with some of these silly rumors that, they're going to tear down the courthouse and all this kind of stuff. It's supposed to, we just had to say, this is what we're going to do. This space will be offered to this agency and this agency and this agency. This is going to be designated expansion space for county offices. This is that. And then it's like, okay. and it requires us to have some deliberate thought, which is that's the idea. So,
exactly. Well, those were the materials we had to present today. The follow-up then is again to do some refinements and confirmation of the project cost, which you all get the revised project cost. We get those out. The operational cost, we'll be sending that out along with our qualifiers, so we can get input back on the operational cost and kind of refine that a little bit more. And then we'll go through this weighting matrix again.
Yeah,
and send it out, and then that way
let's do that quickly. I'll help you with on items, let's see, 4 and 5. So item 4 You left a couple.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Can I go over one more thing?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Lee. There is one other thing that we wanted to show real quickly. This is just a long range, just so everybody understands. And thank you, Dwayne. I almost totally forgot about it. This was a schedule of potential.
Oh, yeah. We were going to shut the lights off here. So.
There we go. So, this is a schedule based on any of the ones that are single phase. It shows, and I believe the final public presentation meeting is January 24th, right?
Mm-hmm. Lynn?
That's the final. We show the 24th day. We show what this is all predicated on is if you're going to start construction, and of course in our climates, you want to start construction as soon as the ground falls. So it's a little bit hard to read, but basically in spring of 2019, and we could add a line and information, and this is more for this group as well, but the idea is that spring of 2019 is when you're actually breaking ground. And so here's that 20-month construction period. Now, before that happens, as I was mentioning earlier, there's a lot of development, a lot of detailing, a lot of information that needs to be developed to know exactly what this facility is going to do and how it's going to lay out, and it's going to have the proper materials and things as you go through it. So the schematic design, I'll just briefly say, that's when you finalize how the plans lay out, the floor plans, the door swings, all that information of exactly how those floor plans are and what the building looks like. So you're finalizing that in the schematic design. When you get to design development, you're picking the light fixtures, picking the plumbing fixtures, picking the floor finishes, the wall finishes, the ceilings. You're looking at all the interior casework. How does the courtroom lay out? What's the casework in the courtroom? What's the technology to be used? There's a lot of information that happens in the design development phase. So right now there's like a 4 to 5 month period duration for what's considered schematic, about a 6 month duration for design development. Again, it's a big building. It's a lot of complexity to it. There's a lot of stakeholders. You got to coordinate that with everybody. We also have kind of reviewed periods where the county gets these documents at the end. This is how we always do our projects, aside from having multiple meetings during those phases. And then about another 6 months for construction documents. That time period can be condensed, but to be quite honest with you, we're seeing that there's a lot of collaboration between multiple parties, not just in the study, but maybe as the project goes forward. And I don't know if you would utilize this same large group once the project goes forward. It might be more efficient to have a building committee at that point in time of various individuals that are involved with some of the review periods. Because, you know, when we design a jail, we typically sit down with the jail administrator and the sheriff, and we go through jail issues. We don't sit down with a big group and say, should we use this, should we use that? We base it on best practices. When we sit down and design a courtroom, we'll sit down with the judge and court administrators and court reporters, and we talk to them about how it lays out and how they operate it, and we develop it with that group. But ultimately, it comes back to a building committee group. So, anyway.
Yeah, I would picture you do that, yep. But just bring it to this committee or to the county commissioners just as a report.
So long and short, what it shows is basically a 5 month schematic, 6 months design development. And then construction document phase is really, we've worked through everything with you. We've decided what light fixtures we're using, what the carpet material is, what the wall material is. We've gone through it all. Now we're putting the final touches before this goes out for bidding and for permit. And so there's that kind of final stretch. And then we show roughly a 2.5 to, depends on the complexity of it, sometimes 2.5 to 3 months for the bidding period, where you issue the bids, have a pre-bid meeting with the contractors, answer questions, get their bids in, tabulate, and make the recommendation to the county board before it gets approved to go ahead. And a lot of times, in most projects we do, at the end of each one of these phases, we typically will present to the county board, because we'll do a budget reconfirmation at the end of each one of these to make sure we're still on track with their budget requirements. So what it shows is, if based on starting construction in, you know, May, late April, early May of 2019, you're really probably going to start the design process, you know, potentially somewhere in the summer of 2017. So there's like a 5 or 6 month window there from when the last public presentation is to where the county determines, well, what are we going to do? So there's that kind of window in there. And then based on this information and a 20-month duration of construction, you got to realize you're really moving into that facility basically in January of 2021.
Wow.
It's not a quick process. It can accelerate. If you move when you start, it can move. And some of these could be condensed a little bit, But again, you want to make sure you have adequate time. This could be condensed to 4 months. You could probably save about 4 to 5 months through here by tightening it up. We've got a very large group. We've got over 140-some professionals, and we were able to work with our client's schedule. We wanted to make sure it was a little more generous at this point. So it could move up to being completed in somewhere in 2019. Well, it all depends on when you break ground.
Well, right, and bidding it earlier than that, really, in our experience, in the history of when projects are best to be bid, wouldn't help you. Your numbers would potentially be higher if you bid it a few months earlier than that.
You always want to bid anywhere from January to February is really the best bidding, when we're going to get this best bid of results. That's when contractors are trying to plan out their work for the following spring. And so you're going to get the most bid, the most competitive bids are going to occur in that January and February time frame. So no matter what, if you're going to start construction 2019, you're going to bid somewhere in here. So no matter how soon you start the design work, it's probably about right. You're not really progressing it much.
So the key to, we talked, this was a couple weeks ago, when we were talking on the phone, you mentioned, depending on if we were to do the vote, in time for you to start, where the bidding in the following year, basically you could gain a year. With that. So when would that? Not that we want to rush things if we're not ready, but if it, just so we have that in mind. So would there be a difference between saying voter approval for funding in March versus April or something like
In March of 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could. And especially if you're going to have a construction manager on board, there's a possibility to move things forward. So this is a typical what's considered design build bid schedule that you could draw out. You could work on some fast track scenarios that would accelerate this.
Which could save some money.
Yeah, it would actually. It could save actually, to tell you the truth. It could, if you, that 4.5% that we looked at, if you actually were to start construction somewhere in 2018, that would help.
Yeah. Okay. But you'd have to do that. You'd need to, you'd probably need voter approval March-ish.
You really need voter approval in March of 2017 to really move forward.
Not to say that if that's premature, it's premature, but just as long as we understand that.
Maybe that's something you probably want to know what that cost difference might be.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be good to know. Yeah. But moving ahead forward, we need to tell the public if we're saving, $40, okay, go for however long you need. If we're saving $300,000, that's a chunk of money that might be worth considering. So we'll look at that.
Help us out, guys.
January of 2019, I probably have 3 new commissioners to work with.
I'm not going to claim that I have the greatest. A lot of times I'm down, but I think I simultaneously heard the sheriff's heart and the judge's heart stop when you said moving in 2021.
That's out there, Wiz. I can understand that.
Audible. Yeah.
But because no matter what, you're looking at a construction period for a big project like this. That 20 months is about right, and so. No matter where you slide it, that's still going to be in there. So you can cut down if you don't have this 5 to 6 month review and you go March and you tighten up some of these design phases. Mm-hmm. I think you can accelerate some things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so hopefully this year.
But it's not 5 years.
any thoughts? Any other thoughts with this?
I know. We're right in the heat of them again.
I know. Well, hopefully that's all important.
Well, I think.
What's this? No. So we're gonna look at this too, because we'll probably do some 2 scenarios on this. So I think you would do one that's, depending upon when the vote occurs and when it doesn't, then you go from there. So anyway, just wanted to show
everybody that. So you turn the lights on there. Okay, so thank you. So we're at number 4 on the agenda. So I think we're good on these concepts. Number 4 says possible action to agree on concepts to develop for comparison based on criteria. I think we're kind of arrived at those concepts. If there was a point in the process where we say, okay, we want to switch, we really need to look at this. I mean, we may add a concept. It'd be pretty quick, but
You mean other sites or other
No. Say a permutation of something that we just hadn't thought of. Mm-hmm. So
we're here to support you. I said that in the interview way back when.
Yeah.
If there's some other things come out, the goal is to make sure that we always address all the questions that come up the best we can. So we'll be there to support that.
Okay. So on the concepts that are before us, so that's what we're how we're characterizing what we're looking at right now. Those what is it, 8 concepts. And I think there, I was thinking about, well, could we eliminate one or two of them, but I don't think they capture a lot of the questions of the, or 9 concepts, they capture a lot of the questions of the public, you know, like the why can't you do, can you do a jail 2 stories? Yeah, you can, but, you know, understand the impact, you know, those kinds of things. And so
I don't think you take any, personally, we don't, I think they're all valuable concepts that are worth still having out there so people understand.
Yeah.
Very least, I think it helps when the public understands. Yeah. They've really looked at a lot of scenarios to see how the best accomplish this. So, I personally.
Does anybody have any members have any questions in their head about this or that? Like, one of the things that.
What are you talking about? Number 4?
Number 4. Go ahead.
Just for the good of the group, what did come up within the last, since the last meeting, the mayor proposed at a government affairs meeting that the Game Fish and Parks has finally decided where they're going to build their new headquarters, which is on South Pelican. So anyway, that site, which I brought up at a commissioner meeting, and anyway, Lee mentioned right away, that was one of our previous sites that we eliminated.
It's too small.
So I'm just basically letting the rest of the the committee know that we had a discussion about that because, you know, the mayor's like, well, we're going to build a new city hall in the spot we're looking at right across the road. That'd be a great place for you guys. Quite honestly, I don't think it was the best meeting to throw it out there when you got a group of citizens from Watertown, they're like, oh, that's wonderful. They should look at that. It's like,
well, we did.
And we did.
Yeah, we did. Anyway. And so, we're thinking along the same lines. So.
You know, matter of fact, we just were at a meeting. We're doing a study for Detroit Lakes up in northern Minnesota. And we were at a city council workshop the other night. And we actually had one sheet that had all the sites that have been looked at on there. And we had what the sites were and had, like, not recommended on them. So when we started the discussion with the county board, we said, here's the 18 sites we looked at. Here's the ones that are not being recommended. And we did a very, very quick overview of those. And so it might be worth doing something like that overview of the number of sites that were looked at the very start as a, when we head to the public meeting. Here's all the ones that were looked at. So everybody knows that. Here's the ones that we've moved forward with.
That'd be pretty easy.
Yeah. I think it worked out very well. It
helps to demonstrate that we've looked at more than just the things that are on the table.
And then we're back to
okay. Well, I think we could ask the questions to the Jeff because of the questions. You probably ask them. Okay. I think we're. Any other points to bring up? Okay. All right, so off we go. And then that's number 4. So I don't really think we need to, we've been using the same options, so there's nothing new for number 4. Number 5, on the soil borings, do we need to make any, on the soil borings, you were going to recommend at some point, when do you picture the recommendation?
So I will, we really didn't do much on that at this point. So what we need to do is I need to talk to our structural engineers and just have them give us some locations of where they would recommend a few borings be done. Then what we said is we'll do that and we'll get a proposal for you for get those borings done. So hopefully next week we can get you some proposals for getting those borings done. Because what this group will have to do potentially with the county board is, are we approving this $8,000, $9,000, whatever it is.
Okay. So well, we may just go, depending on the timing of that, is that going to be, because the next time we meet as a group is October 11th. That's the next scheduled committee meeting.
It was October 11th?
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that, are we going to need to do something sooner?
You'd have it before then. Well, I mean, you'll have the results. I think that's fine. Timing-wise, I think.
Oh, you have the result. Okay, what I'm saying is, do we need to make a recommendation to the county commissioners to approve this expense?
Yeah, but you wouldn't need us for that. I mean, we'll get that to you, and you guys would need to make a recommendation.
Or we can just go ahead and, we could go directly, just take it up as county commissioners, I suppose. Does anybody have any?
Probably me.
Yeah, well, no, we definitely, it's definitely going to go to the county commissioners. Yeah. I don't know that we need to have a special recommendation for us. I mean, one question I do have is if we pick, say, the highway site, we prefer to do that one above, say, the 212 site, could we bore one and say, okay, good to go, that's it? Or do we need to go do a more?
Typically, a structural engineer will look at the size of the building. Mm-hmm. And the problem is you do one boring, and you might hit an area that's good.
Did you mean one boring or one site?
One site. One site.
Oh, one site.
So can we do like the highway site, whatever, and then say, okay, good to go, done. And then, or do both sites.
You got to do both sites because we got one right now that's in the middle of a city that just happened to be where an old creek ran through years and years and years ago that hasn't been there forever, and it's crappy soil. Mm-hmm. And they're going to spend a large amount of money using pylons, concrete pylons, to make that work. So one site might be great.
Yeah.
It's not going to relate at all to the next site down the road.
Yeah, okay. All right.
What I think Lee was saying, if we have a priority like 212 site, if that bores out really good, then not do the highway site. I think that's what
you... And you know what? I could do it. There's another option, too, that
What is the cost of those bores?
Yeah, so if you have... Typically, if you have... Say we have five borings per site or something, it's probably close to about $5,000 per site. So it might be about $10,000 total. But the thing that I could do, and I didn't even think about this, the step that we could do ahead of time is I could contact the local building department who's familiar with buildings occurring in all these areas and just say, have you had soil problems in those areas? That's probably a good first step rather than having the borings, because if they say whatever buildings were built down in the 212 area in that corridor, we've had construction, yeah, we've never had any issues. It's been standard soil foundation, not a problem. If we check up in the highway shop in that vicinity, buildings have been, permits have been pulled, your building department should have an idea if there have been soil problems. They should know. So we can dig it. Let me dig into that a little bit, and I'll send you a memo on that.
Okay, so we might. Okay, so but the question then is, well, I guess we can go directly to the county commissioner. So if we need to get it done between now and the next CCJAC meeting, so
do we? You said earlier, should we just make a recommendation to the county commissioner? That way, people won't think that the county commission is trying to.
Yeah, we can. We have it on our agenda. We can do that. So yeah. If you want to. If you want to make a motion, then we can do that. It's a kind of a general thing, but we estimate it's going to be between $5,000 and $10,000 for one to two sites. So
that'd be up to you guys if you want to do it or not.
We can if somebody would want to make that motion.
Jim just made a good point. The readiness center, which is right next to the highway shop, that's a relatively brand new building, and that's a government building. They had to do soil tests out there.
Yeah.
National Guard building.
Then they would have those tests available.
I'm sure they would. Yeah.
I think
that's
so too.
Good example. Yeah.
Anything up near the highway shop in that this general vicinity?
That's what they. That's the radio center. That's the National Guard radio center. That's a good point. That's very close. Yeah.
Anything? Well, I'm assuming as much as 212 has been developed commercially, there's probably got to be some things in that area.
That's probably just getting just beyond. There's
the one thing
TJ. TJ Industries, and that's the only one that's...
Which one?
Event Center.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's not that.
How far is that away? It's not that far, is it?
It's less than a mile. So well, it'd be right at a half a mile.
Three city blocks.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the soil borings, just to make sure we understand, is just to open and uncover some of the things that we consider unknowns right now.
Right.
Isn't that the case? Some of these sites, like we're talking about, probably have recent information or building official information. And the places that we don't have that information, we probably know where we want to target.
Yeah.
And if there's any question after we do a little bit of research and calling, then we would recommend the borings.
Okay, well, let's... I'd entertain a motion that we just recommend to the county commissioners. If needed, we would do borings of up to two sites. If anybody's interested in
that. I'll make the motion.
Okay, so we have a motion to do the borings if needed on one or two sites. Is there a second? Okay, I'll second it for discussion. So there's any so I seconded it. So any discussion on it? Do everybody know what it's okay. So are we ready to vote on the motion? Yes or no? Okay. All right. Good to hear the notes. Okay.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, it was great.
You had to make a vote.
Okay.
He was enough.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. All right. So the motion is, and I realize, are you clear on what the motion is, Julie? So.
Present any proposals needed for soil boring to the Board of County Commissioners up to two sites.
Yeah. Okay. So. All in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, motion carries.
One thing they might find on it, when they built that readiness center, when they dug in a lot of the sewer lines or whatever, they had to dig a lot of wells in because the water table was so high that they had to keep pumping it, pump it dry.
They got that retention pond. Yeah, they got that pond. That pond next to it.
Isn't that in the floodplain?
Yeah, it is close to it's closer to that river, to the big Sioux is right there.
No. Yeah.
Yep. You know, like Bill Liefenberger just developed that corner.
14th and
out there going west. I don't know. It's just before you get to Gopher Sign or whatever that's called out there now, whatever.
So it'd be in between the event center and our property.
So he just developed that. I don't know if he would have did any boring, but he put up a building and he's redeveloping that. He's gonna.
Yeah. How close does it have to be before you're at peace with the? I mean, would you still want to bore the site itself? I mean, pretty much, or I mean, so like the readiness center is what, half a mile?
Half
a mile from the highway site.
What I'm going to do is talk to the building department and find out how things have been, and if they say that there have been some sites that have been of concern, then I think it's worth doing. Okay. If they say, you know what, we've never really had an issue around here, and I'll probably touch base with any structural engineers that I can find as well, but if nobody raises a red flag to an issue, I'd say there's a fair level of confidence that we're good.
There is a lot of houses on 14th between the readiness center and where the highway department is. I don't know if any of those have basements or not. But,
The problem with houses is that the weight of the house is so low compared to a commercial building.
I was thinking of water level.
Oh, yeah, water level could be a problem. That's true. That's
my
true.
Son lives in one of those. He doesn't have a basement.
None of them do.
And then the drainage into Lake Campeska comes from the north and east. All that water flows through that aquifer. Okay. The lake backs up that way, too. And you've got the Sioux River on the other side of that too.
The cable off your
computer. Oh, sorry.
So it's no wonder that they were finding water at pretty low elevation.
In the floodplain issue, has there been any major flooding in that area?
Yeah.
97 for one.
How far up did the water go? That's right.
Well, that was all, that whole
yellow thing was what?
You couldn't get out to the lake. So the area near the highway shop, has that ever flooded to the point where it's been inaccessible?
There's a big flood
in
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that?
Maybe the ditch area.
Was the highway shop?
It was a barricade right there.
Okay.
To the north.
But that wasn't.
For the sake of time, let's move on to the next item on the agenda.
Over the where the Sioux River.
So, public presentation. If you could go over this the agenda you had, and just real quick the items for this. So this is the September 8th public presentation.
So the next step of the public presentation that we would typically present would be. And thinking about this, and I know that I sent out an agenda for this, Lee, but I don't think I brought a copy of what I.
I can probably find it.
But typically, what we would inform the community of, we've informed them. We went through the programming, and we went through all the previous information, and the last one We talked about the programming and the size efforts and how the space was building was actually smaller than the previous, but we didn't go through the site analysis. So the next thing to be presented to the public would be all these various sites we looked at and the sites that we've honed in on. And I think the way I'm thinking right now is we'd go through the sites that were looked at, the sites that have been honed in on to proceed forward with, and the evaluation matrix. I don't know if you want to do, my thought is, and we could do operational costs. So yeah. I would do operational cost and the site information. And then I would come back with the next meeting of project cost and tax impact. Because the problem is, if you don't have the tax impact information with the project cost, all people see is that big number. And what your actual impact to an individual is much smaller than a $30 million project. So I don't want to don't think it's smart to put that out there right away. Yeah. I think it's site evaluation and operational cost and site matrix.
Yeah. Okay, so operational costs and the matrix and kind of fleshing out the matrix. So we've already been talking about the criteria, so it'll be a good reinforcement. And then and so everybody knows we're one of the DJs from K-Watt agreed to moderate. Was it great? Yeah, from Mike Tanner.
Oh, yeah. If I remember right, wasn't the figure put in the paper after the last public meeting?
Was it what?
The dollar figure?
Yeah, they were there.
It's already been out for public.
Well, it's just our friendly public opinion reporter just mentioning what we're talking about here. And I don't think it didn't get. I mean, it was in the paper, and I think that's fine. So,
before we formally go out there and really show the numbers that we're talking about tonight, I think these should be coupled with the tax impact.
Yeah, I think that's better presentation. Yeah.
Again, when we've done and had success at these over the years, it's basically sharing information in smaller components sequentially as it kind of goes forward to help people understand it and be familiar with it, and not hit them with everything at once where all they hear is, oh man, that's expensive. So, it's not that you don't want to. You're hiding it, but you're helping to lead them along the way with the information as it comes developed. Okay. And hopefully people remember that and hear that a little bit as well. So
we'll be publicizing.
It's what worked in the past.
So we'll be so basically the thing to hit is, you know, more about the process we've been going through, and that's what these, I have a couple videos about that. And then that, just as we talked about last time, a video about process that we're going in a bit more detail, and then a video about cost estimating. They're both pretty quick. Do people think we need to re-show any of the videos that we showed before? Because I think I'm wondering if we ought to show the courthouse and the jail video again, just to shorten. There are slightly shorter versions. You guys have any thoughts about that? It's a lot quicker though than what we did before though. So it's about a 20-minute, crank through when you show. So
it sometimes doesn't. You know, it's, I always say, you got to say it once for people to hear it. You know, five times for people to understand. You know, you got to go through that kind of continue.
I wouldn't show all four or five of them. I would show. I was thinking maybe two, and then these two. This is just two here. But I think part of the reason we want to do that is it's a quick way of saying that this is a process we're going through. We thought about this. So let me just show these two, and then if you think we need to add. You guys hear
that?
In
order to address our county's problems with its justice facilities, the Cottington County Justice Advisory Committee, or CCJAC, is working to develop a concept of a building.
Concept plans make sure that the space is adequately laid out and adequately sized, so the concept plan is not as detailed as the final floor plans that you ultimately.
The process that CCJAC is using to develop a concept can be broken down into five steps. The first step was to analyze and understand the county's needs for justice facilities. As part of this, CCJAC reviewed all of the information that was available at the time when CCJAC was created in early 2015. This is summarized in a brief report that shows that the jail and courthouse are inadequate to address the county's obligations under state law. CC Jack engaged the National Center for State Courts and jail consultant Bill Garnos to project the likely needs for court and jail space over the next 20 years. This provided a clear idea of how much court floor space and a good estimate of the number of jail beds necessary. The architect team, competitively selected by the county, BKV Architects, provided the last key piece of this analysis by determining the amount and type of jail floor space needed. Next, the CC Jack used this analysis to develop criteria that will be used to compare various renovation or construction options. These criteria ensure that we consider things like the efficiency of a potential jail or court facility, the expandability, and how much it would cost to operate and construct or renovate. This list of criteria, approved by the county commissioners in early 2016, is available on the CC Jack website. For the next step, CC Jack and BKV Architects brainstormed 16 possible sites where future justice facilities might be constructed.
And you start to evaluate the pros and cons of those sites. Is it a costly site? Does the county own that site? Were there previously contaminants on that site? Does it have the access to the public that it needs to have? Are there existing buildings that have to be demolished or remodeled?
By studying these possible sites with the approved criteria in mind, four sites were determined to be viable. In no particular order, these sites are the current courthouse block, a site on the west edge of Watertown on U.S. Highway 212, a portion of county property where the county highway department is located on South Dakota Highway 20, and the block where the Watertown City Auditorium is located just west of the courthouse on Broadway. With four viable sites identified, the next step is to use the information obtained to develop ideas or concepts of the basic layout and size for possible justice facilities. The county engaged BKV Architects to provide multiple options that must include at least one option using the current courthouse, at least one option using a new site, and at least one option with the jail and courthouse connected.
That's right out of the RFP.
Each of these concepts is an option that will need to be compared to the criteria the County Commission approved in early 2016.
All that knits together to provide all the adequate information so that the County Board, the committee, and the community has the information to make the intelligent choices.
I think it's not intelligent choice, but right choice. Correct choice.
Do you want to change that? I mean, we could.
Does it? I'm not sure I like intelligent choice. I think it's just the correct choice.
Well, you said it. Okay.
Lee, as a member of the public who's only come to a couple of these meetings, I think that's really elegant. I think it sums up what's going on here. I like the audio visual sense to it. It's got a nice tone to it. And I think it lends credibility to everything you guys are doing, and it really encapsulates everything that's going on.
Thank
very
you.
Short, short presentation.
Yeah, thank you. The idea is that we want to show people that we've been busy and we've been organized about doing it. So anyway, then there's one more. This one's much shorter. So.
The county approved a set of criteria to be used in determining the best option to address the problems with the Coddington County Courthouse and Jail. These criteria include two considerations to ensure we take into account all financial aspects of each potential construction or renovation option. These are operational costs and project costs. The most important of the two is operational costs.
Operational analysis then looks at all those things like, is one site going to create more staffing requirements than another site? And what is that staffing? Is one option going to create more long-term utility and maintenance costs from one option? And what is that impact? So you have to look at the long-term operational analysis on a 20 to a 40-year life cycle cost of a building. What is that long-range operational cost going to be?
The other financial aspect to consider is project cost.
The next step is how much might it cost to do these various options. So you put together, based on historic data, and based on estimated inflationary impacts of when the construction might occur, you use good quality historic data to determine what those projects might cost.
The basic components of project costs are the cost of construction, architectural design and project management, as well as furnishing a building. If property needs to be purchased, that cost must be factored in as well. Lastly, estimated project cost must include a contingency to address unforeseen issues. Renovation usually requires a higher contingency factor than new construction, because the likelihood of unexpected issues is higher when working on older buildings.
So, yeah,
for some information.
Yeah, well, that, I think it's the what. One of the things that I'm hoping these things do is keep, just so we don't have to talk and try to worry about what the script is. We got it all done. So,
are you going to do comment cards like we did before?
We can do it. We probably will do it that way because that's some people don't want to stand up and state their question with
question cards. I should say.
Yeah, we'll probably do it the same way. We might do it in the lights doing.
What's that say? Produced at no cost to Connington.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It wasn't. It's true. Okay, so anyway. Yeah, we have to. That's one of the things, like, spend all that money on it. Anyway.
Well, it's like I told you, Lee, we haven't done this on other projects. Normally what we do is when we get in front of a public meeting, we present this information and go through it. This is so much more concise and to the point. You have time to think about it and process it and get it a little more clear and articulated when you do it like this. So I have actually recommended this to a few newer clients. Yeah, I like this idea.
That's not. Okay. Right. Thank you. So what about I was thinking maybe just show the two videos on the jail and the courthouse, just the basic problems there again.
Yes.
And then these kind of, there's a little bit of overlap in some of the information with some of the other videos. So do you guys think that's an okay idea? I mean, I don't want to overdo it, but so. And then they're all online for people to look at, so. Anything else on the public presentation from anybody? So the basic key points to make are operational cost and kind of the matrix and fleshing out how we're going to use the criteria, right?
Yeah, because you listed the site options, so in your video you had
and you can build on that a bit
of the numbers and we could discuss a little bit. The operational cost will have to be going into a little bit more, and then the site matrix, a summary of that.
Okay.
And if you want to do some additional recording of those pieces once we get them together, we could potentially do something. In other words, so we're not necessarily presenting it all at the meeting, but doing a recording that incorporates some of that discussion.
You mean recording like another video with
talking about the operational cost
operational
matrix
cost
a little bit more. So that would be an option. I could always run out and we could always figure out something too.
Yeah, yeah. We could,
if it makes sense.
You guys trust us to do another video. Okay. Yeah, it's a little time consuming to do them, but okay.
September 8th is the next one.
September 8th.
Oh, it's going to be here before we know it, actually.
Yeah, that's going to be quick. That's how many? That's what, 2 weeks? Is that 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Were you going to go over that matrix again? I mean, or before you present it?
That's a good point. Thank you for saying that. The question is, we had a little bit of, we kind of agreed, by consensus on the matrix. What I think, and I think if on the public meeting laws, we're an advisory committee, so it's a little gray area, but we said in our charter that we're going to comply with them. So if we tweak that matrix again, I'll have to ask if we can do a motion by email as long as we CC the press and everybody. But then we'd have to be. No, I don't think we can do that. I think we have to meet. So
the question is, like on September 1st, which is a week from today, that we get you the revised one. You meet, and we're there over Skype or whatever.
Yeah.
That we could Skype a meeting, say on September 1st. I'm just throwing it out there. But then you all have a chance to review that matrix again and kind of.
So September 1st is what day?
It's Thursday next week. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
You guys, I mean, we might just get together real quick at the courthouse and just do it. We had a few of those quick meetings when we were planning on hiring an architect.
I'm not available next week. So.
At all? You're gone? Okay.
I might not be either.
Well, could we Skype you guys? Could we conference call you guys in if we had to, if we needed a quorum?
Yeah. I'll be in Cedar Shore.
You could also do it, say, on the 6th after Labor Day and still have a couple days before it goes to the public meeting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think we're too... is anybody worried about that? I mean, what we could do, or let's maybe do it this way. I can put it on the agenda for the county commissioners on that Tuesday the 6th. That's our next meeting. Just make sure that they're good with it. And if you guys are okay, you know, if we're kind of essentially recommending by consensus, if we do it that way. And if anybody from the committee wants to be present for that county commissioner meeting on Tuesday the 6th to comment, we can that would be, would that work?
In a nutshell, there's not going to be much change.
No, there isn't. It's just really...
It's pretty much what we, I mean...
Okay. Let's just do it that way. And then I'll put it on the agenda just to review, possibly reapprove as county commissioners. And so...
So you'll have the revised...
Just to make absolutely sure before we go public that that's good.
You'll have the revised version. We'll get it to you so you have it by Monday, the 29th.
Yep.
You'll have a chance to look at it if you need to tweak it.
Yeah.
We can tweak.
Yeah, I don't... But I think we pretty much did that.
That's
just a matter of writing it down.
I have a question on that. So this will have the numbers on it, it'll have the totals on it that we have at the time.
Yeah,
I don't think they even needed to be on there. I saw they were on
just the waiting, somewhere. Just the waiting, just to understand that how the waiting is going to come out, because that's a slight variation on the prioritization.
So do we leave these numbers on there? Is
that well, for, as far as what they were showing to the, as far as what we're approving,
because this said construction,
I can take them out. If you send a spreadsheet, we can.
The reason I'm asking is because we aren't presenting cost information yet.
No,
you don't want to. Don't want to show how they rank because
we don't.
We're just going to ask questions. Well, how do we know that?
Yeah, but we can. But the weighting, because it's a detailing of our current. It's providing more detail to our current matrix. So we should definitely.
That's perfect.
And if somebody asks, I mean, it's we're not going to hide anything. We're going to say at the next meeting. We will be presenting the next public meeting from this. We're going to be presenting cost estimates and additional financial information.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just to show how it flushes out. So. Yeah. Okay. Well, then we probably need to maybe schedule a conference call or something, and maybe
we can do that.
We can, it'd just be an informal worker bee session. But anyway, you know, and then if any committee members want to be present at any of those, then I'll send an email out. It'd be just worker bee, but. Yeah.
Could be available 31st, 1st, 2nd, whatever.
Okay, well, okay. I don't think we need to work that right now, do we?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm on vacation.
No.
31st.
It's semi-vacation. It's a conference.
So you're saying the 29th, or sorry, we just have a conference call?
Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday next week, I'll work.
Okay. Well, let's just do...
We just need to pick a time. There are stuff going on in those days, but we just need to pick a time on those days.
How about Wednesday at I don't know, what's a good time for you? Wednesday morning is fine?
Yeah, if you want to say Wednesday at 9.
Yeah, and then we'll probably do that from the courthouse, and then... That's just worker session. So if any committee members want to come, we just gotta. We shouldn't have a quorum there, but. So I would think the sheriff would definitely want to be there. So it's Wednesday at 9.
That's the 31st.
Yes. 31st.
So you're just gonna have a call in to the commissioners.
Yeah, we'll just. Phone? Yeah, just be worker B. So if you know, we have to make sure no quorum of county commissioners and. No quorum of the committee. So, I mean, just for that, because that's what the public meeting will say. It's just. Okay. Okay, so 9 a.m. Okay. We'll go over that. We'll just finalize that matrix, and then I'll put it on the agenda for the county commissioners on the 6th. So, all righty. Anything else on the public presentation? Thanks for bringing that up, Commissioner Hinton, that we needed to. So as far as what we're going to actually put on the matrix for the public presentation, we're going to basically show the detail of the matrix and how things are weighted. But
you have to fill in some of the values. Yeah. So
we're
going to go through that based on tonight and tweak it a little bit and then send it out to you so you can all
okay.
look at it.
Okay. We could put that on a video too if we have time. So possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I think we can talk to it very briefly on a summary of how the initial criteria was used to evaluate each site, and here's what the information.
Yeah. And the meeting doesn't need to be long. I mean, it might be an hour and a half. So yeah. Okay. All righty. Anything else in the public presentation? Okay. Any unfinished business? New business? Anything else? They open. They're on the agenda list. The next meetings coming up. Just for everybody's, these are the meetings we agreed to last week. And I should say, I did make a boo-boo. It should say November the 14th, I think, is what we agreed to. Let me verify.
So we did, versus 16th.
Yeah, so cross out the 16th on there. So, so Monday the 14th. And then the public presentations on September 8th, December 6th, January 24th. So any other items for the open?
So when you think about, so if we just discuss a little bit more public presentations, so the 8th, we'll address really more the sites and operations, and then I would think really what you're doing is hitting the December 6th with the cost and potential tax impact, and then the 24th is really a recap of any questions and other lingering. I think that's a summary, and that might even be, you know, it might even be the direction. Actually, the 24th would probably be our recommendation, and depending upon where you want to go with it, that actually might be, you know, what the committee agrees to as being the best direction. Yeah. Well, I think
between the 6th and the 24th, you guys might want to come to a county commission meeting, and we'll talk about, and then we talk about that.
Yep, that would be a good idea. That would be a very good idea.
Okay. Any other stuff with you? Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn. Just one second.
Okay.
So, all in favor, please signify by saying hi.
Aye.
We are adjourned.